Hello, and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Heil Russell.
And I am Dustin Jackson.
Dustin, let me tell you right up front.
Spit that nasty stuff.
I'm gonna spit it all over your face.
Got it.
Yeah, that was a great, great catch there. You got it all in your mouth.
Thanks.
The last time we sat down, you and I, to do a Gib Cribs episode, which is a play on the word gibbon, Gibbon Cribbins. The last time we did one of these episodes, it was for Donkey Kong's Treehouses, if you'll recall.
The classic.
It was one of the best episodes I feel like The Conversation has ever produced. It was 4 hours long.
And do you think we can hit 5 this time?
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, because Dustin, I am exhausted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. Not this time. It's because I've talked about this before on The Conversation. I suffer from chronic fatigue, and that's mostly down to the fact that for the longest time when I was running DK Vine as the sole editor-in-chief, I was also working anywhere from 1 to 2 other jobs to make ends meet. And eventually, I just ran out of gas. And I developed chronic fatigue, went to the doctor, and they're like, yeah, you're doing too much. And I said, well, that's a shame, because I'm not quitting this Donkey Kong website, that's for sure. And so anyway, when I went full-time with DK Vine late last year, I was able to kind of recharge my batteries a little bit. I was kind of able to reclaim some of that youthful spark, that vim and vigor, that zeal and zest for life that I used to be known for. But then we did The Conversation season premiere at the beginning of March, and I said, we're going to do 2 episodes a week.
That's a lot.
Turned out it was a lot, especially when about halfway through we ran into significant technical difficulties with one of the episodes, and I spent days in the editing chair basically trying to salvage it. And I feel like I did, but at the expense of my health. And I have really kind of hit a wall this week. And it would be one thing if I was really just bone tired, like unable to get out of bed. But it's also the height of spring allergy season here on the eastern seaboard of the United States. And I have apparently terrible pollen allergies this year, to the point where I feel like I'm ill and my immune response is kicking into overdrive. So on top of being just absolutely on my ass from exhaustion, I also feel like I'm sick. So what I wanted to talk to you about, Dustin, is we're doing another Gib Cribs on this episode of The Conversation. We're talking about Banjo's House.
Love that place.
But I need your guarantee, and I need your promise, and I need you to have my back on this, that we won't prattle on for 4 hours this time, because I just can't do it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where the night takes us.
I was like, yeah, will you have my back on this, Dustin? Will you make this guarantee with me? Will you try to hold my feet to Banjo's comfy fireplace? And you're like, you know what? I can't. Can't do it, because maybe I have 4 hours worth of things to say.
Yeah, it might be too important a topic.
It might be. And you know what? I do sacrifice myself for my craft, for my art. And if I do die on this hill, if I drop dead the minute I hit publish on The Conversation episode 1211, Gib Cribs : Banjo's House, then it will have been a life worth lived. But
just imagine all the people posting on the forum saying, Did you hear that Heil, inventor of DKFine.com, died? He died during the Banjo's House episode. It was just too much.
I mean, it would be an epic way for me to go out, but...
True.
They just announced the date that we're recording this, that the Donkey Kong Country theme park expansion to Super Nintendo World at Universal Studios Japan, they just announced it's been pushed back. It's now not opening in spring 2024, like next month. It's now opening late 2024. And so that means I have to keep myself going at least until that. You know, I can't just keel over now. And I've said I'm going to come back as a ghost to haunt everyone. And, you know, ooh, Donkey Kong. But it's a lot of work, and I don't have the logistics, you know, sorted for that yet. So...
Right, understandable.
Let's keep me alive through this episode so I can keep doing conversations week in and week out. And then, you know, I think that's the best of both worlds. But that being said, if I do die at some point doing this, this would be a pretty awesome way to go out talking about Banjo's House. And that's what we're going to do on this episode of The Conversation. We'll be getting back to the simple life. Because, Dustin, do you know what cottagecore is?
No. Not even, like, a little bit.
Okay, cottagecore is this very popular philosophy, lifestyle, aspirational kind of way to live your life or to imagine a life you could live. Similar to how people dress up, you know, steampunk or whatever. Cottagecore is... What if we go back to the simpler way of doing things? And I think this is a very millennial, Gen Z kind of notion, because we have been left with crippling student debt. We have been left with late-stage capitalism where the rich have gotten richer. They've left so little for the rest of us. And... to make matters even worse, the prospect of owning a home has escaped the vast bulk of anyone who's not Gen X or, you know, got lucky somewhere along the way. The other day I was talking with my dad. It was the other week. I was visiting my family and my dad went on about how when he was 17, he bought his first house with $200.
Wow.
And it was basically like, why haven't you done this, son? And thankfully, my mom spoke up and she said, well, that's kind of impossible.
Yeah, that's not really how much houses are these days. You know what I could get for $200?
What's that?
Almost half of an Xbox.
Yeah, I know. Right. So... Yeah, my dad was like, yeah, back in the 70s, I just rolled up in my hippie van and I like said, hey, that's a nice house. Here's $200. And they're like, I'll give it to you, dude. And then that was it. That was how it was done.
Now, transaction over.
Yeah, nowadays, like venture capitalist firms buy up houses and like foreign real estate buy up houses in the United States. And they either make them so expensive that it's impossible to find a starter home, or they turn them into Airbnbs or whatever. So basically, our generation or younger, Dustin, we're never going to have a house. But that's why we don't look towards things like the McMansions of the aughts, where you had like these sprawling, gaudy, suburban mini mansions. We look at those and we turn up our nose. All we want is a simple cottage, Dustin. Just a place that's maybe a room or two rooms. You know, it's got modern conveniences, sure, but it's simple, it's cozy, it's quaint. And that's all we really want. If we could have that, we would be content. And that's what the cottagecore lifestyle is kind of centered around. And
I think I'm kind of there. Yeah, I get it now.
It's not about like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we were Amish or anything of that ilk? It's more like, what if we just had like a cozy little country home? You know, nothing fancy, nothing extravagant, but something that we could call our own. Wouldn't that be nice if that were possible?
Man, that last part really hurt.
Yeah, I know.
Wouldn't it be nice if it were possible to have that ever?
If our parents' generation or the people around in our parents' generation didn't just completely pull up the ladder behind them.
Yeah.
But hey, Dustin, it's okay because we can look at Banjo and we can live vicariously through the life he and Kazooie live in their cottage in beautiful Spiral Mountain.
That sounds so nice right about now.
Yeah. So this isn't Destination DKU Spiral Mountain. We're not making it any further than Banjo's front yard. So we're going to be kicking off our shoes. We're going to put a pot of tea on the stove and we are going to relax with the calmest corner of the Donkey Kong universe, aside from the time it was blown up in Witchy Hellfire and Banjo-Kazooie's friend died. Aside from that one little blip, that blemish on an otherwise pretty perfect record of country living.
Right. You know, it has its ups and downs.
Right. You know, some downs are pretty significant, but hey, it can only be so calm when you live in the shadow of an evil, despotic witch's lair.
Right, you take what you can get.
The good and the bad, them the facts of life, Dustin.
Man, these days I wish I could afford a house that was blown up by a witch.
You're right. I could roll up with $200 like my dad and be like, hey, I'm 17 years old and I'm going to buy a house.
I'll take this off your hands, thank you.
Here's a bushel of apples. Where's my house? So, I always say, though, Dustin, and I always say this. You've heard me speak it time and time again. I always say that a house is not a home unless you can hang on your hanger the Slow and Steady Wins the Race t-shirt, splattered with white stains and emblazoned with the words, I docked in the tip-top suite, Spiller's Harbor. House is not a home unless you have that shirt. And thankfully, you can get it right now at our merchandise store on TeePublic at dkvine.com/merchandise. We got Freezer in the live stream chat right now. She's got one. She's got a lovely house because she has that shirt.
Good for her. Good job, Freezer.
And you could also get that. You can get the Don't Stop Till You Swap Enough t-shirt. That's not sexual. That sounds sexual, but that's actually our lovely Stop and Swap checklist shirt that you can also get on our merchandise store. We got some product on there that might interest you if you're interested in Banjo's house. So check it out right now at TeePublic. Dustin, we're also on YouTube, and some of you might be
no
listening.
Way.
Yeah, way. Yeah, way.
Whoa.
Some of you might be listening to this episode right now on YouTube, in fact, because you can listen to episodes of The Conversation on YouTube. But hey, so much more than that, because we have exclusive video exposés on the Donkey Kong universe. We have old streams of ours from Twitch that we just throw up. It's like, here's an old stream of ours. You want to watch it? No? Okay, well, it's there when you do. I'm saying you need to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Dustin, because it is growing like a healthy little body eating Flintstones vitamins.
Oh, no need to tell me to subscribe. I'm a subscriber for life.
That's right. You know what? You can unsubscribe and then resubscribe.
You know what? I think I will.
Okay. DKVine.com/YouTube. And I mentioned our live stream, our lovely, lovely live stream, because we do live stream most episodes of The Conversation exclusively for our $5 and up patrons. You can back DK Vine on Patreon, you know, at a dollar. But if you go $5, you can get in on the action. We send out little notifications and say, we're recording this time. Would you care to join us? And people say, no, I'm busy because I have a life. But other people say, hey, that sounds like a smashing good time. That sounds like the best use of my Friday night or Saturday during the day. So right now, right now we've got the aforementioned Freezer, who's also complaining that we're doing this before the Gib Cribs on Saberman's house. And look, we'll get to it, I'm sure, unless I drop dead during this one. But Freezer, you're going to be on the spotlight episode for Saberwolf GBA in just like 2 months. So can you just calm down? Can you just...
Ooh, looking forward to that.
Be a little patient. We also have Just Andre. Just Andre is also complaining. Forget Banjo's house. When's the episode on Bleak's house? It's a snowy field. I mean, that would be a short one. That's what I need to do when I'm chronically fatigued. I think we
just did it. We just said everything there is to say about it.
Yeah, it's a Dickens pun. Yeah, we're done. That was Gib Cribs, Bleak's house.
Awesome. Two podcasts for the price of one.
Porygon Q wonders how many hours this one is going to be. And also, Andre says, the fact that the stream title is in Bear in a Big Blue House should be punishable by law. So this lets me vent really quick, Dustin. I mentioned before, I think it was on... Might have been the episode we did on Tip Top. If not that, then it was another episode earlier this season, maybe the Stop and Swap episode. I mentioned how much I tend to loathe the Banjo-Kazooie fandom wiki.
Right. Yeah, they're not really pulling their weight.
And this isn't a blanket condemnation towards everyone who might edit it. I realize that it's kind of hard to rein people in, and people can just edit whatever they want, and unless you're like the people at Super Mario Wiki and you have just devoted yourself to this cause, it is very hard to catch everything. But, you know, I like to check in when I'm doing episodes like this, because I generally pull from my own wealth of knowledge from the years I've been doing this, accumulating little bizarre factoids. But sometimes I also think maybe there's something I missed, and so I check out other areas of Banjo-Kazooie fandom, Rare fandom, DKU fandom, just to see and make sure that I'm not missing anything. And this is this is actually under the trivia section for Banjo's house, for the page on Banjo's house.
Okay.
Banjo's house being colored blue is possibly a reference to the children's TV program Bear in the Big Blue House, owing to Banjo being a bear.
Well, there it is. That's hard to argue.
Yeah, but also, Bear in the Big Blue House debuted in October 1997. So unless somebody on the Banjo-Kazooie team was instantly enamored with this children's TV show, I very much doubt it's a reference Banjo-Kazooie wiki on fandom. And maybe you should delete that, because that's not trivia. That's just the musings of somebody who really likes Bear in the Big Blue House and really wanted people to be swayed by their viewpoint that Banjo-Kazooie is just a big Bear in the Big Blue House reference.
Right, and I get the comparison. Like, it's quite a coincidence that they're both bears that live in big blue houses, but that doesn't make it a reference.
Here's the thing, it's not a reference, because Banjo doesn't live in a big blue house. Banjo lives in a small blue cottage.
Oh, you got him there. I can practically feel Hyle's, like, eyebrows raised in triumphant smug glory.
Yeah, I'm so smug right now, Dustin.
It's like, I guess you didn't think about that one, did you, Banjo-Kazooie Wiki?
My little pinky just went up, and I just have a little smug.
Better luck next time.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't want to, like, I feel like I am a mean person when I talk bad about the fandom wikis, because we go up through the Donkey Kong Wiki from time to time, too. The Great Ape War, you know, that's... It's one of my biggest trigger points, I think, when I'm like trying to see what other corners of the fandom are up to, and they're just speaking nonsense. And I speak a lot of nonsense here, but I tend to back it up at least with, well, I speak this right. nonsense because I can support it with this nonsense over here, which is pulled from that nonsense. Like, I get very encyclopedic with my bullshit. And all I ask is that other people do the same. Right. If they're going to bring this Bear in the Big Blue House trivia to my desk, I expect them to really support it with, at the very least, a 30-minute video expose. If you can't do that, then right. don't put it in the trivia section.
I don't know if you can stretch that out into a half hour, but then again, look at the conversation.
Right. Just look at the conversation. Look at the last Gib Cribs we did.
Yeah, we can do it.
Well, unlike the last Gib Cribs we did, Dustin, unlike Donkey Kong's lavish lifestyle, Donkey Kong has numerous houses, Dustin, and it's disgusting. And I know he's the son or grandson raised as a son of the basically island chieftain. So he's a pure Nepo baby through and through. But
right.
Donkey Kong is still pretty simple as a guy, right? Like, Donkey Kong doesn't really want much, but he still has numerous tree houses throughout Donkey Kong Island. And, you know, that's fine. If I could have numerous tree houses too, I don't think I would turn up my nose at it, but...
No, I'd love to have multiple tree houses.
Yeah. The thing about a tree house, though, and it's a bit of a misnomer because most of Donkey Kong's tree houses aren't actually positioned in trees. Like, one of them is... Like, as far as, like, his full-time homes go, most of them are on caves or are just on solid ground. But the thing about a treehouse that terrifies me is, what if the tree falls down?
Oh, man, that's the end of that treehouse.
Yeah, that's the end of my life, potentially, right? So
true, that too.
Give me solid ground and give me a nice blue cottage, a small blue house. Bear optional, and I would be pretty content. And I think Banjo, we can say, has been fairly content in his house because he has remained in the same house since at least 1998. And I think that is laudable, considering so many video game characters, they move to a place that kind of looks like the place they were living in, but can't plausibly be the same place they were living in. Look at Peach. Look at her castle. She just right. keeps moving into near identical castles, but you're like, that's not the same castle you're in, Peach. How many castles do you need, and how are the citizens of the Mushroom Kingdom not revolting?
Yeah, when will your castle lust end?
Right. Banjo has stayed put. Same corner of Spiral Mountain since 1998, and the details have remained fairly consistent from game to game. And we will bring up on this episode where there may be discrepancies, and we will explain them. And you can put that in the trivia section, Banjo-Kazooie Wiki on fandom.
Ooh, shots fired.
Pew! That was me firing a gun, apparently. That was the noise it makes.
That was pretty good. I like that.
I think it was more of a slingshot, but I accidentally, like, hit myself with it.
Oh. Hey, you know what? You won't get better unless you practice.
That's right, yeah. So, Banjo lives in this tiny cottage, and it looks smaller on the outside. Maybe it's a TARDIS reference. Maybe we add that to the trivia. But it looks smaller on the outside than it apparently is on the inside, because it's apparently built into the side of the mountain. Did you ever notice that, Dustin?
I've never noticed that. I've never really thought about it, but I guess that makes sense. You know, bears live in caves.
Yeah, and this cottage is kind of like a cave in that it might even have a rocky exterior. So it could be that he, like, hollowed, not hollowed out, but he, like, built the interior in a cave, and kind of like that's the floor plan. Obviously there's the facade at the entranceway. He's got a roof and he's got a chimney built in and windows. But yeah, I think it does extend into the mountain if you really study it closely. And if we go by what later games reveal, I think there's more to the house than meets the eye. But yeah, it's a very lumpy looking house, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty lumpy. Nothing wrong with that.
It's like if you're doing an arts and crafts project for school and like your dad sat on it or something.
Dad, I made that for mom for her birthday.
He was like, don't worry, you can buy a new house for $200. What are you talking about?
It's fine, kid.
I really like just the way it looks kind of old. It kind of looks like it might not even originated with Banjo. Like, maybe this has just been around and Banjo either inherited it or he rolled up and said, here's 200 music notes or something. Here, you know, let me buy this house. But I really like the way it's kind of a blend of the outer environment of Spiral Mountain, the valley of Spiral Mountain, not the actual Spiral Mountain in the middle. But you've got a little bit of infrastructure there. Like, they've laid down some bricks in the front courtyard or whatever area, like where it's fenced in. You've got bricks, but you've also got flowers growing through them. I don't know. I'm always a sucker for human-built structures that nature is kind of reclaiming. So you've got like moss or just like growth underneath coming through. I don't know, there's something about it that I find beautiful. Just like, oh, any impact we can have on this planet is but an impermanence, and nature will always bounce back. There's something very reassuring in that for me, even in a house. Like, oh yeah, you know, this house won't be here forever. Eventually, if we were just to leave it alone, the earth would reclaim it. And
I totally agree. I was just in Portland not too long, like maybe a couple weeks ago, and that's kind of the vibe I got to that whole place. Just like vines and moss growing all over everything, like big trees just looming overhead. Oh, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, for the record, I don't like the post-apocalyptic aesthetic. Like, I like this healthy blend of lived in and like nature coming back, but also not like,
yeah,
there's been a massive plague and humanity is wiped out completely. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, Banjo's house is very cozy, though. And I love that there are these little details about it. And this is something Rare has always excelled at. They make everything feel really lived in a way that other video game studios or developers wouldn't necessarily think were necessary. The trash cans, the bins on the side of Banjo's house. It's a little touch. The only purpose they really serve, I think, in Banjo-Kazooie from a functionality standpoint is to let you get up on the roof to get the extra life that's hovering over the chimney.
Yeah, but it is cool. I totally agree. It just goes that extra mile, letting you know, oh, this is a character who has a life here in this world.
They make trash, Dustin. They get up in the morning. They might like make themselves some breakfast. I don't know. Maybe they have one of those little coffee pod machines, which are bad for the environment, but they're very convenient. You just need a quick cup of coffee. You know, maybe they make some trash along the way, and maybe they need three trash cans because they're filthy. We're all filthy. We're all excreting. We're always bleeding everywhere. We're making little stains here and about. So we make a disgusting amount of garbage, of refuse, and I like when I see my video game heroes doing the same, because it makes me feel less self-conscious about it, quite honestly.
Yeah, it's like, wow, Banjo and I are not so different.
Yeah, he's polluting. He's staining. He's he be pooping. But we also, at the end of Banjo-Kazooie, we're going to go into his house eventually, Dustin, but I want to just touch upon all the exterior points from that first game. Because at the end of Banjo-Kazooie, we see a couple of things that aren't there in the regular game. We see some outdoor, like, lawn chairs. We see, like, a picnic table. We see umbrellas. And we see a grill, a barbecue.
Hell yeah, some good times.
Yeah, it's because they're having this big, like, picnic cookout when they rescue Tootie, but before they shove Gruntilda off her lair. You know, Banjo's having maybe an adult beverage. Maybe he's having a beer. He can do it. I mean, if he wants, he's unwinding. He's had a long day. Mumbo, of course, is cooking up Royston. More on Royston in a bit. And, you know, they're eating corn on the cob and... Which is weird, because that doesn't grow in the nearby garden.
No, they had to get that from elsewhere.
And I don't think that nearby garden is Banjo's garden, by the way. I think that's like a community garden.
Yeah, I think it's just part of the environment that Banjo happens to live nearby.
But the question then becomes that they have this picnic stuff that isn't just outside most of the time. Where do they store it when they're not using it?
That's a great question that only someone on the conversation would ask.
And it's something that the conversation will answer, because I have theories about this, Dustin. But yeah,
I'd love it.
They also have a radio. This like old-timey radio. It looks very Art Deco. It looks like very like of the 1930s. It's got that styling, that pattern to it. And I really like that, you know, we're outside, we're going to listen to this radio. It's a different radio than what's in Nuts and Bolts, though. But that makes sense, considering what happens 2 years after they have this barbecue. Right. So that's not a continuity error. That is just... they eventually had to replace it for reasons. But yeah,
for certain reasons.
I think they do have a place where they store all this stuff, but it's deeper in the house. Let's go inside Banjo's house as it existed in 1998.
Kyle, now, if we're going inside, can I do the transition sound?
Please.
With the jiggy?
I was hoping you would volunteer.
Okay. Boo! Beep. Now we're in Banjo's house.
And I feel like I'm transported there. I feel like you gave me the audible leg of the journey, and my brain could do the rest, Dustin.
You're welcome, but you owe me one.
Well, it's because I lubricated your mouth earlier when I spit in it.
Ooh. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? This episode's really firing on all cylinders.
I wetted the old whistle for you, Dustin, so you can do all your silly little sound effects.
Oh, thank you, Kyle. See, audience, this is what we call the perfect podcast episode.
Teamwork makes the dream work. We're a buddy duo, like the bear and the bird.
I thought you were going to say the bear in the big blue house.
No, we're not mentioning that show again. That is banned. That show is banned from being mentioned anymore.
If we see you talking about Bear in the Big Blue House on the forum or on the Twitter or anywhere, guess what? I don't know if you've heard the word dunzo, but guess what?
Freezer,
that's you.
Freezer, Andre, Porygon, if you mention it in the live stream right now, I'll be mad.
I'll be like less mad, but I'll be thinking the whole time, oh my god, how is Heil feeling about this?
I'll be stewing.
Steam will be coming out of your ears like a funny cartoon.
Yeah. So inside Banjo's lovely cottage. Now, it's always referred to as Banjo's house. Let's clear this up right now. Because it seems unfair, because Kazooie also lives there quite plainly, quite clearly. So why is it referred to as Banjo's house? Well, I think it's because legally, the deed is in Banjo's name. Kazooie did not move in until later, and I don't think she's officially, as decreed by whoever around Spiral Mountain, you know, determines ownership. I don't think she legally has any ownership of it. I think she just lives there with Banjo. And I say this not to diminish Kazooie as a character, because so often Kazooie is diminished, Dustin. It's unfair, right. But I think because of the nature of how Banjo-Kazooie came to life in development, where they started, well, they didn't start with Banjo, but they eventually came upon the character of Banjo, and then the notion that his backpack had, you know, magical properties and wings, and then that became another character. There's that, and there's also the fact that Banjo by himself debuted first in Diddy Kong Racing, and said that.
I think that's the big one.
Well, that's the big one, I think, for fans of a certain age who were around for, like, the rollout of all of this initially. So we just always just thought of it as Banjo is the spinoff character. And even at DK Vine, for the longest time, we called it the Banjo series until I eventually put my foot down and said, it's Banjo-Kazooie. Let's be fair to Kazooie. See, I almost
are co-stars.
I almost said, let's be fair to Banjo, because my brain just defaults to thinking Banjo is the most important one. But yeah, it's a 50-50 split.
Right. People don't say, oh, Banjo-Kazooie got into Smash. I see so many people just say, oh, Banjo is in Smash.
Right.
But they're both there.
It's a 50-50 split in the series, people. It's just because Kazooie wasn't in the title in Banjo-Tooie doesn't mean she's not an equal lead. But Banjo does have sole ownership of the house. But it doesn't matter because Kazooie's, you know, living there. And,
right. Like, I don't own the house I'm in, but I would still consider it my house. I still live here.
Wherever you hang your metaphorical hat, that is your home.
Yeah.
And I just want to clear it up why I'm calling it Banjo's house and not Banjo and Kazooie's house. But
Thank you, Heil.
We know from bonus material on the Rareware website, because they had expanded character bios on there that went beyond what the instruction manual said. And we know from the bonus material on Rareware back in 1998 that Kazooie is a foundling of sorts and was brought in by Banjo, because the biography under Banjo says, a honey bear with a great love of sleeping, swimming, and even a bit of dancing when the mood takes him. Banjo has found life to be just too interesting for his own good, since he stumbled across and found himself adopted by innocent little Kazooie.
Aw.
So, yeah, like, it's vague, but I think the implication, and the way I always understood it, like, back in 1998, back in the between time between Diddy Kong Racing and Banjo-Kazooie, was Banjo found Kazooie as an egg and hatched her, effectively. Although they don't have any sort of parent-child dynamic, it's always more just best friends. But
yeah.
Yeah, so
can I just say, I love in this character bio, it says, a great love of sleeping, swimming, and even a bit of dancing when the mood takes him. It's as if you're witnessing Bigfoot when you see Banjo dance.
Yeah. I like how sleeping is the most important thing for Banjo, too.
It's his favorite thing in the world.
I can really relate to that this week, in particular.
Oh, he's very relatable.
When I was breaking down what episode to do next, I think I chose this one just because the image of Banjo sleeping in that bed really just was the most attractive. It lured me in like a siren upon
right,
the rocks.
You're like, I wish I could sleep next to a big picture in a cuckoo clock.
So Kazooie, of course, lives there, and she just hangs around in the backpack. Like, she doesn't even have a bed. She just sleeps in the backpack. And she's
I like to think if she wanted a bed, they would get her a bed. I'm guessing she's just really comfortable in that backpack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. I don't think it's a thing of Banjo's like, you don't get a bed because you're a bird. You stay
you're
in the
lucky
backpack.
To even be here.
Right. I found you, and I hatched you, and I can put you back in that egg.
You want to go in the fishbowl?
Yeah, well, speaking of the fish, the other part-time resident of Banjo's house is Royston the goldfish.
Woo! Now,
Royston is... I'm loath to use the word pet, but I think Banjo would view Royston as a pet. I think Royston would find that situation to be quite intolerable after a certain point, but...
Right, yeah, like... I look at this picture and I see Royston in that fishbowl and I think Banjo got this fish to be a pet in his house.
Yes.
He probably didn't even know he could talk.
Probably not. You know, it's one of those things in the Rare Archipelago, 50-50 shot, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So he thought it was just a regular goldfish and not anthropomorphic and oopsie doodles. Royston could talk. Yeah, and at that point,
who hasn't been there?
And at that point, Banjo, maybe you get Royston a bigger tank. Like,
well, he did at that. Like, I feel like he probably learned that this is a sentient fish when they saved him in Tui. And at that point, they just put him in the lake around Spiral Mountain.
A lot of good that did him, but yeah,
yeah.
obviously, Royston, he comes back time and again to Banjo's house. Even when he gets out, he gets pulled back in. But he goes on all sorts of misadventures across the Rare Archipelago. So he doesn't always live there. And right. As far as we know, from studying the Greater DKU, if you incorporate the Platonic canon into your interpretation of the DKU, Royston is not at Banjo's house at present day. He's off with Dr. Puzz. So, not living there right now, if you believe ukulele, if you attach ukulele to your notion, your understanding of the shared universe.
You know, if my... if the person I was living with was constantly trying to eat me, or I was constantly in some sort of mortal danger, I would probably leave too.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much the Banjo or Kazooie are trying to eat Royston, it's their friends.
Yeah, yeah. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, yeah. So we see Royston get pulled in. Like, every time there is a new Banjo Kazooie game, Royston gets pulled back. So eventually we will see Royston, I'm sure, back in the bowl, somewhere in Banjo's house. But at the time that we're recording this, Royston's probably the happiest he's ever been. He seems to get along well with Dr. Puzz. They've got a good thing going. Let's hope that can last for him. It won't. It won't.
Royston, yeah.
Royston lives a life that's meant for misery, for our entertainment, and to make games DKU. So, the question, though, I have for you, Dustin, this is the controversy. It's a controversy okay. We brought up before in the conversation. Does Tootie live in Banjo's house?
Do you want my opinion on the subject?
I want your opinion either way, yes.
Okay. No, she does not live with Banjo. Banjo-Kazooie opens with her going to Banjo's house.
Yeah. And Dustin, that is the correct opinion, so we won't argue about this, thankfully.
Awesome, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, a lot of people, and it's this weird thing I've stumbled across, like, how two people can look at the same thing and walk away with their own wildly different interpretation. And one of the things I run into when it comes to characters living together is this weird understanding that Diddy somehow lives with Donkey Kong. I'm like, how did you get that? And like, well,
I don't think there's anything that like hints at that or anything.
It's like, well, in Donkey Kong Country Returns, it opens up. Diddy's already in Donkey Kong's treehouse, and I'm like, your friends visit each other. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's not like Diddy's not allowed in the house.
Like, we've seen Diddy's house in Diddy Kong Racing DS. Like, all right, whatever.
Obviously,
they hang out all the time. They're best buds. I mean,
yeah,
like. what? Anyway, but yeah, people think, well, we don't see where 2D lives, so 2D must live with Banjo. And I'm like, you know, this universe extends beyond what we see in the games, right? Like,
right. It's not like this is all there is.
I've always believed, and this is just my interpretation, but I always believed that 2D lived, at the time of Banjo-Kazooie, at least, before she ran off to Minecraft, 2D lived at home with Banjo's parents, and they might, like, live outside of the valley, the Spiral Mountain Valley, like, maybe over the hills where we can never actually journey to in the games, but we see in things like Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, we're like, oh yeah, there's, like, hills past the valley.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Like, close enough that 2D can run over and visit if she wants.
Right, and, like, she was showing up that morning because Banjo promised they would go on an adventure together.
Yeah.
And it's just Banjo humoring his little sister. He just wanted to sleep in, but, you know, 2D was very excited about this adventure.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she got the adventure she wanted.
Yeah, she was trafficked by a witch.
Yeah, not what she had in mind.
No, and then she was like, screw this, I'm going to Minecraft and we'll live there.
No
for
more
decade.
Adventures.
Yeah.
I'll do adventures here in this safe realm.
You know what, I'll come back to visit when the video game multiverse collapses and I become a spirit. And then I'll run around Spiral Mountain a bit.
Man, she had some foresight to say that.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, she had a good fortune teller. It's Madame Grunty, actually.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Madame Grunty just, like, read her fortune when she was in captivity. And she was like, oh, shit.
You will be in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for the Nintendo Switch.
What the hell is Smash Brothers? So, yeah, Banjo's house. In 1998 through 2000, it's got this lovely floral wallpaper. It's yellow and, like, it's either, like, flowers or, like, sunburst. Just this pattern. And, Dustin, yeah. I'm a sucker for yellow anything. Not piss yellow. And this is verging on piss yellow, but I love yellow paint. I love yellow wallpaper. It's because I am bipolar. It's because I suffer from depression. So I'm naturally delighted by anything that gives me just this burst of positivity, of sunshine.
Like, right, just a nice, sunshiny, pleasant color.
Right, so I kind of like things that remind me of just a nice, warm, comfortable, sunny day. And so this is the kind of wallpaper I would like if I had a home with wallpaper. because, yeah, it's very bright. It reminds me of, like, a grandmother's kitchen.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's funny, I'm not as big a fan of yellow. I just feel like there's, like, it's so easy for yellow to, like, turn ugly. Like, there's so many shades of yellow I don't like. But right. I look at this wallpaper for Banjo, and I do like this specific color of yellow. It's like, kind of an orangey. It matches the honey he so loves to consume.
It is. It's less banana yellow, which is what Donkey Kong would go for, and it's more golden honey yellow.
Yeah, this is the yellow I like. A little bit of orange mixed in there. Nice and vibrant.
Yeah, and he's got hardwood floors, which I think pairs nice. I love hardwood floors. Babe, it's because if there's one thing I like more than a cottage, Dustin, it's a cabin. And
yeah,
like, I love the woodsy aesthetic. I've loved it since I was a little kid. And so combining the cottage with the cabin, it's like the best of both bears. You got Banjo and you've got the brothers Bear, who all live in cabins from Donkey Kong Country 3. So yeah, I love the hardwood floor. I love that he's got a little, like, circular rug in the middle that's, like, green and yellow, and it's, like, spiral. Like not Spiral Mountain, but just, like, spiral patterned. It's, like,
right,
circles, ovals. It's just a very pleasant feng shui kind of thing Banjo's got going on here. It's suiting for a bear. Let me just
say. Totally.
And I wish Fangamer has cranked out some amazing official Banjo-Kazooie products. Could you imagine if they actually sold the wallpaper and the rug?
Oh, man. That would be great. I don't think I've seen, like, anyone sell stuff like that. Like, oh, now you can live just like your favorite video game characters.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we've gotten close with, like, here's Diddy Kong's shirt. You know, but we've never gotten just straight up, now you can live exactly like they do when they're not adventuring.
Yeah, here's your own goldfish.
Well, you know, it's pretty easy to get a goldfish, actually, Dustin. I've looked into it.
Right,
and
but an official rare branded one?
Yeah, well, I think Fangamer would really have to expand their operations to pull that one off. And how do you ship a goldfish across the country?
Hey, that's for the eggheads up in marketing to worry about.
Yeah, come on, Einstein, get to it. get your official Royston. And you know, people just abuse those poor goldfish if it's an official Royston.
Yeah, they'd throw it on the grill and they'd say, haha, I'm just like Banjo.
Look at me, I'm Mumbo. Look at me, Mom, I'm Mumbo.
I'm Bottles and I put the cooked fish on the plate.
Look at me, I'm Baron Von Ghoul, and now I put this goldfish in a haunted house.
That one might be the worst one. Yeah. You just have to live with the constant fear of monsters.
Do you have anything to say about Banjo's bed? Because this...
I was thinking this whole time about Banjo's bed. Like, looking at these screenshots, Banjo's bed was the thing that stood out to me the most. I just love how it looks.
So what I did for Dustin is I meticulously went through the games and I took screenshots from every angle of Banjo's house. And I did this on both the N64 and the XBLA versions. And I was like, yeah, I want Dustin to really know what he's talking about when we talk about Banjo's house. So that's what Dustin's referring to when he says screenshots, because you at home can't see this.
Yeah, this is purely for my enjoyment only.
You might be able to see this if you're listening to our YouTube episode, or our YouTube upload, or our SoundCloud upload, because there will be key art for that, and you'll see Banjo's bed on that. But yeah, for me, this bed doesn't look that comfortable.
Oh, interesting. Is it because of the, like, flat mattress and sheets?
The mattress looks so flat. It looks like a cracker. Right. Like, it looks like a saltine with bedding, like, sheets on it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I get what you mean. I think that just comes down to, well, it's the Nintendo 64.
Okay.
I feel like they could make it look more comfy if they did it now, but I like the way the bedposts jut outward. It makes it look really squash and stretchy, even though it's not. It just looks like the kind of cartoony bed that would bounce around. It's just nice and stylized.
It's a nice design. It's very evocative. It's very artistic. I'm looking at it as a functional bed, though. That's my problem. And I like the headboard is an arch. And
yeah, I will say that that's like, what's the pillow gonna rest on?
Right. And so, like, sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of the time, I will sit up in bed and I will read, or I will play my Switch, or I will doom scroll the news. And I sit back on it. Either my bed's up against the wall or I have a headboard, depending on the bed I'm using. And, cause I sleep around, you know what I mean? So.
Woo!
I look at this, and I look at this arch, and I'm thinking, this would provide no lower back support. Your lower back would just be squeezed through it like Play-Doh.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that you said that.
And so, I would be like, Kazooie, can you step on my back? Because I need a cracked ASAP. And so, yeah, like, this bed isn't a very functioning bed, but I imagine what Banjo does is he doesn't sit up in bed. He has a little corner that seems to serve as a study, as a den, And he goes over there if he wants to read or sit up, and he only goes to bed. Banjo's one of those types who they only go to bed when they're ready to sleep. And Banjo does love sleeping. It's in his character biography.
Yeah, he sleeps a lot.
Yeah, so that's his favorite thing. So maybe the weird shape of the bed does not bother Banjo because all he's going to be doing in it is sleeping. Especially
because this is not a bed for reading pornographic magazines in. This is purely for falling asleep in.
Right. If this was Boggy's bed, then we'd have a problem. you can't pleasure yourself to bear babes in this bed. You just can't do it.
Right. Yeah. He would rather sleep on, like, what? Don't they have, like, ice beds or fucking whatever?
No, we talk about uncomfortable furniture, and I think Boggy's family has it worst off. Like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, but I mean, granted, I think the ice would be easy to clean, which is why Boggy does it.
True.
You know,
true.
Because of the stains.
Yeah, you know, he's living smart. That's like a life hack.
Because of the ejaculate.
Yeah, on account of the, like, sperm and such.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so the fluid which houses the sperm. So that's why Boggy's like, we gotta get ice furniture. And his family's like, well, I know we're like polar bears or some shit, but why do we need ice furniture? And Boggy's like, because I'm a pervert. Rah! And
that's, he's very open about it.
That ends that argument. But Banjo's pretty demure, and he, you know, any admissions he does, they're gonna be in the privacy of somewhere else in this house, which we'll get to. So, speaking more to, we're gonna call the house area, this room, this bedroom slash den slash kitchen, we're gonna call it the studio space. Like a studio apartment, it's all one area, right?
Right. Love that.
And one of the things I wanted to point out is he's got a picture, a little framed picture of Tootie on his chest of drawers to the left of the bed.
Yeah, yeah. I see that.
He's also got the same picture of Tootie blown up in a framed hanging portrait to the right of his bed.
Yeah, no, That's nice that he loves his family enough to have pictures of them. I don't think he needs two of them, though.
They're identical pictures, though, Dustin. That's my problem with this. If it was like a picture of Tootie when she was like a baby, or a lovely picture of them together, that would make some sense. But they are the same picture. Did he just get this frame? Like this little picture frame for his chest of drawers, and he was like, "Well, I'll put a picture of Tootie in there. It's the same picture, but I'll replace it with another picture eventually." And he just never got around to it.
Yeah, it'll be there. You know, I can change it whenever.
Yeah, it's we now. Of course, we know originally this was a very last minute kind of switcheroo. I don't know how last minute, but we know originally the big hanging picture of Tootie on the right side of the bed, it wasn't originally Tootie. It was actually going to be a picture of Donkey Kong. And
man, I wish I had a big picture of Donkey Kong staring back at me.
Yeah, this 1994 ass render of Donkey Kong, just
this crusty, not even like one with fur effects. It's just the DKC one. Just sheet of fur.
Right. Just the very, I think Josh Wallen of the Geek Critique calls it like melted plastic Donkey Kong.
Ew.
Yeah, originally it was going to be just Donkey Kong, and there's a lot of theories intertwined with that. Like maybe Donkey Kong was originally going to host like the moving picture game, and it was going to be centered around this picture, or maybe like they moved it over here after they decided Donkey Kong wasn't going to host it, and then they eventually said, well, let's just get rid of the picture of Donkey Kong because it just raises too many questions. But yeah, it wasn't always going to be the same identical picture of Tootie, but I'm like, they could have done anything else. Like they could have had a picture of Kazooie there, or no, I guess there's already a picture of Banjo and Kazooie together elsewhere, but it's weird. dust, and it's weird.
It is weird. It could have just been like a scenery shot. Like, people have just like portraits of like nice areas or nice paintings. You could have done something besides the same picture.
There's two pictures of that elsewhere in this house that we're going to discuss. So I don't get it. But you want to talk about the cuckoo clock?
I'd love nothing. I've been waiting so long to talk about this cuckoo clock.
The cuckoo clock, there's a purple cuckoo clock up on the right side of the bed, flush with the wall the bed's against. And unlike normal cuckoo clocks, where the bird pops out, like, on the hour, right? This one seems broken, because the bird's just always popping out.
Man, it's a wonder he even keeps it around. Like, that would have been in the garbage bin outside, like, within the day that it broke for me.
Yeah, he must just really like the bird. Like, it's perpetually, I think, 10 to 8, like 7:50 a.m. in the morning. When
that alone, that's already, like, a weird time for a cuckoo clock to go off.
Right, which means it's broken. Which means the bird is just always popping out. But, you know, they don't want to get it fixed. They like it. It adds to the down-home charm of the house.
Yeah, it's a fixer-upper.
And Banjo can apparently sleep through quite a lot, because he sleeps through the abduction of his sister. So I guess he's just learned to tune it out.
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. There's two chests of drawers, I just realized. There's the one on the left side of the bed, and there's one on the right side of the bed that Royston is on. And, I mean,
what do you think he has in those?
Shorts.
Just identical pairs of the same shorts?
Yeah, I don't think Kazooie would need much, because any clothes she wears, she finds along the way, like shoes and what have you.
Yeah, maybe one of them's like a drawer for like HDMI cables, phone chargers, just general stuff he might need.
Stuff they wouldn't have in 1998, probably, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But now they could use it for that if, like, they wanted.
Yeah, for sure. Like, maybe the Game Boy charger.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, like, when he's not playing the Game Boy, he could, like, the game drawer.
Yeah, or like those lights that you could affix the old brick Game Boy, you know, the lighted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, magnifier thing. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I also like that Banjo has to have, like, flowers in vases.
Yeah, just a little something nice. Brings him joy throughout the day.
He must just, like, pick them. Maybe these are flowers that are growing through, like, his brick on the outside of the house. And he's just, like, he picks one and
through,
he puts...
Through the cobblestones?
Yeah, yeah. He just picks them and puts them in the vase. And he just, like, repeats that every few days.
What a charming little idea that is. Banjo just steps outside of his house, looks around and says, oh, there's a nice little pretty flower popping up. And then just decides, that'll be a great decoration for the house. What a guy.
That's cottagecore. That's the lifestyle that people aspire to. It's just, I'm going to go out and pick flowers for the house. And that's going to be my morning.
Just something nice.
That's something lovely. Something to bring a little bit of sunshine into my life.
This is a cuddly episode.
It is. I'm feeling so cozy right now.
Me too. I'm going to get like a big blanket and drape it over myself and say, I wish I could pick flowers and put them in my house.
Yeah, well, I don't really want to do that right now because of the pollen. I already feel like I'm on death's door, so let's not.
That'd be pushing it.
Speaking of doors, I like the yellow door of Banjo's house, and I like that it's got a big, juicy red knob.
I like that it's shaped like a honeycomb.
It is shaped like a honeycomb. I really think the honeycomb aspect of it didn't really register to me in the original Banjo-Kazooie.
Well, because everything is just so many polygons that it really just feels like part of the world. But I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, oh, that could be... I don't know if this was, like, a purposeful decision. It could just be, oh, this is about as round as we can make a door here.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that Banjo's like, oh, I like honeycombs. There's honeycombs just around. I'll lean into that aesthetic. You know, well, it goes with the honey color of the wallpaper.
And the windows are also honeycomb shape, which I didn't really recognize until Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, when I could see it from a distance in sort of a higher fidelity. And I was like, okay.
That's fun.
Yeah, I missed it completely. But I love the idea of a red doorknob. No.
That's awesome. I love it.
No, because you know how tantalizing a red button is. You want to press
right.
That
you just
want
to. You just want to press it.
So imagine if you brought that same sense of naughtiness of "ooh, should I?" to entering your own house.
It would make it so much more enticing to come home or leave.
Yeah, because it's almost like it's taboo. Like you're getting away with something just going inside.
Do I dare?
Like that's really what I want, is to bring a certain kinkiness to just mundane day-to-day activities like opening a door.
It gives you that small dopamine rush.
It does. It does, without actually going outside your comfort zone. Like, I don't need to engage in bondage to get the same rush.
Yeah, I can... Yeah, I don't need to engage in bondage. I can open a door.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not getting all whipped and shit.
Yeah. This is just fun for all.
Yeah, it's smart. I could be an interior decorator, Dustin. I really feel like I could bring something and I'll explain my philosophy to people. They would bring me in and be like, "You ever wish you could just be like tied up with a Benoit ball in your mouth, but you don't really want to go through the effort?" And then they would call the police. And
I'm 78 years old. That life is behind me, but I do want to feel that again every time I open my door.
See, yeah, I feel like I would need my own show first to explain my philosophy from a safe distance before people actually invite me in.
Heil, I would watch every episode of that show. You, like, decorating people's houses? That would be fun.
It would be fun. They would all just look like Banjo's house or Donkey Kong's treehouse.
Every episode is the same thing.
Yeah.
They would all right, it. You're either a Banjo household or a Donkey Kong household.
Yeah. There's that's it. Every episode just alternates.
Oh, love it.
I love the little... Is it a kitchenette? Is that how you would describe this?
I think so. I don't know what I would call it, but it's nice.
It's a tiny little kitchen. It's got, like, four cupboards. And it's got a place where you can hang some pots and pans. And it's got a little stove. And it's a stove that, I don't know if it's a wood stove or if it's coal or something. But it's very simple, very basic. And there's no oven, right? You just cook things over the stove.
Yeah, it's just this nice little kitchen. Not anything more than you need.
And there's a brick facade over it. And it's actually a facade. We learn later in Banjo-Tooie that this is actually just brick built on top of this little alcove.
Right.
But it's actually really lovely. And... Yeah, I just like the idea of, I'm going to go cook dinner, and it's right here. You don't have to go into this whole other room. You don't have to, like, oh, I have to bend over and get all the pots and pans. It's just right there. Everything's just right there. Because you know me, Dustin, I hate food. And the reason...
Right.
I hate food for two reasons. Food inevitably takes away from time you have doing Donkey Kong journalism.
Right. It's an obligation.
And I'm like, just give me a pill that I can take to sustain myself so I can do more Donkey Kong journalism. I
get that.
I hate the whole process of cooking, of chewing. Sucks. It sucks.
Don't get me started on the last part of it.
And then, to make matters worse, eating always results in pooping. It always takes you to this vile, nasty place where you have to do this unspeakable act. And I hate it.
Yeah, but that being said, pooping does unify us all.
Right, but what I'm saying is I wish I could evolve beyond it. I wish I could
right, you want more out of life.
Ascend beyond the need to poop and therefore the need to eat. And so as much as I loathe the entirety of it, if we could simplify it, like Banjo's Lovely Little Kitchenette, that would at least make it less cumbersome for me.
Right. Yeah, it's nice. I like that it's tucked away in its own little alcove.
And could you imagine, though, like, the smells? If they're cooking something good, it would make the whole little cottage...
It would fill the house.
Yeah! Little herbs and spices.
It would be very nice.
Directly next to the kitchenette. We're going to come back to the kitchenette, because the kitchenette is actually a key component to my theory that I'm going to get into here in a bit. But before we get into that, I want to continue talking about this space.
Okay.
And next to the kitchenette, next to the lovely fireplace, is Banjo's little den, his little study. He's got a home.
Love this area.
He's got a home library with books. We can't see what the books are because it's the N64, and they just made the spines blurry. But I'm sure there's some hilarious references here.
Right, Banjo has the new volume of Yellow Squiggle. That's a good one.
and purple yellow stuff.
Oh, I've been meaning to read that one.
Yeah, I imagine there's stuff. There's some awesome Donkey Kong references here. A little shout out to Diddy Kong Racing. Maybe a Conker foreshadow, but
yeah.
We don't know what any of this says, but for as uncomfortable as the bed looks, this chair looks amazing, this comfy chair.
Oh, totally. It's so big and plush.
It's plush, it's got plenty of back and neck and head support, so you can just lean back in it.
Looks like the seat kind of sinks down, so you have a nice spot to put your butt.
Yep, and you've got just this beautiful fireplace here. And, of course, here on The Conversation, we have talked about the bizarre bottles painting that's hanging over the fireplace. Because what's framing the little study, as I call it, is a picture of Banjo and Kazooie hanging on the wall. You know, makes sense. They had a picture of themselves together, you know, roommates. But then they have a picture of bottles hanging directly above the fireplace. And of course, it makes no sense when you consider that Banjo and Kazooie did not meet bottles until right after Tootie was abducted, after the events of Banjo-Kazooie began. So why is there a picture of Bottles the Mole hanging above the fireplace?
It's one of the great mysteries of the DKU.
And of course, on the character witness for Banjo that I did with Malik, I believe I went into my theory that this magic painting, because it's very similar to the magic portraits that Jiggy Wiggy uses in Banjo-Tooie. And so my theory is that Bottles is something of an international art thief. he somehow came across this painting that belongs to the Church of Jiggy Wiggy. He painted a picture of himself over it to kind of hide it. And he gave it to his child friend Tootie to kind of get the heat off of him. He was like, oh, hey, Tootie, do you want this picture of me? And then Tootie, being a well-meaning child, gave it to her brother and said, this is my friend, Bottles the Mole. Will you hang it in your house? And Banjo, being a very sweet brother, he was like, well, sure, I don't know this mole, but I'll hang it in my house because I love you, Tootie. And that's...
Yeah, he wants her to feel at home in his home.
I'm sorry, my banjo is bordering on my Bill Clinton today.
I didn't want to say anything, but yes, I was thinking it.
When I'm fatigued, I only have one voice, and it's low-rent Bill Clinton. So
you could ask Heil to voice anyone, and that would be what he does.
It doesn't matter. It's like, hey, Heil, let's hear your famous... Michael Jackson.
Seth Rogen.
I was going to say. Oh,
or that.
Yeah, and my Michael Jackson would be, well, Billie Jean is not my lover.
Because this is Thriller.
Yeah. I'm
that's
also
pretty good.
I'm also just picking celebrities that are, like, canceled. Like Bill Clinton, Michael Jackson, you know.
Right.
OJ. Yeah, like.
That's what you specialize in, I guess.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, Heil, let's hear your famous OJ. And I'd be like, I did not kill my wife.
And everyone'd say, oh my God, is OJ here in the room with me right now? And you'd say, no, he's dead.
Right, but he's coming back as a ghost. Ooh.
Ah!
Yeah. So anyway, that's my theory about why they have a picture of Bottles, because Bottles is somewhat of a well-traveled art thief.
Okay, I have no... no way to argue that, so I guess, well, I agree with you.
I'm not saying it's 100% canon. I'm not saying you need to add it to the trivia section of the Banjo-Kazooie wiki. But here's the thing about Bottles. We know very little about Bottles and what he does.
True.
Like, what does Bottles do? He gets around by molehill. He gets all the way around, right? He befriends children.
Uh-huh.
He knows all sorts of self-defense moves. So it seems to me that Bottles gets into some trouble. And I think Bottles is kind of this, like, in his, like, secret life, he's some sort of dashing, debonair man of mystery.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Because how does Bottles,
I love it.
Yeah, how does Bottles know all this stuff? Like, we know what his brother does. His brother is in the mole military.
That makes sense.
His wife's a homemaker. What does Bottles do? Why is Bottles out all the time? It's because Bottles is, like, he's not a con man, but he's definitely, he's got a lot of fingers and a lot of illicit pies. You know what I mean?
Right. But in a way that's charming. Like,
yeah.
It's like, who is that masked rogue?
Right. You know, for all we know, he robs from the rich to give to the poor.
That would be the best twist in the world. Like, this unassuming, like, sweet little dorky mole turns out to be, like, a dashing, like, swashbuckling, debonair secret agent.
He's stealing from the Church of Jiggy Wiggy, which has hoarded all of this wealth, so he can give back to the community.
I think you just really you just made Bottles, like, the best character in the series.
I think we need a spinoff game.
I agree now.
Now, granted, before we get any more spinoff games, we need a new Banjo-Kazooie game. But
yeah, that might be the bigger priority.
Right. We just talked about how, you know, people are still waiting for that Tip Top game. And...
Right. But I won't complain. I won't complain if they're like, look, we know you want a new Banjo game, but how about this game about Bottles and his life and what he's up to? I'd totally still buy it. I'd be very confused, but I would still accept it into my heart.
Yeah. Now, there's a reason we pulled up stakes on our petition to get Chief Blodizen a 9-entry video game series. Because we realized eventually they should probably make a new Banjo-Kazooie game first.
Probably. That might be a better idea.
You get the Banjo-Kazooie game in people's hands, and then you whet the appetite for Chief Blodizen and Tip Top and Bottles as a...
Right.
You know, kind of a Thomas Crown Affair type figure. But
Yeah, it's kind of like how in the Mario movie, like, a whole third of the movie is focused on Donkey Kong. Like, a third of the next Banjo game is going to be all about Chief Blodizen.
Right, and then people will want the inevitable spinoff, just focused exactly on that character. Yeah, it's genius. It's brilliant. You know, I can tell people how to decorate their houses. I can tell people how to make video games. I've got a lot of good ideas.
I'm on board for all of them.
God, why don't people just listen to me?
I know. I feel like we'd be in a better spot if people just decorated their houses like Banjo and gave Chief Blodizen a video game. Like, it's that easy.
And we stop eating and we stop pooping.
Yeah.
Utopia.
Well, the perfect world. Yeah. We've cracked the code.
We have. Now, there are other pictures in Banjo's house, and I'm saving these for last because...
Okay.
These are two pictures in the original N64 version, which have been the source of a lot of conspiracy, of a lot of fan theories, and we know what they are now. But back in 1998, we did not know, and it fed into a lot of the stop and swap hoopla.
Hoopla?
Hoopla, yeah. So, on the other side of the fireplace, there are like two shelves that are just completely empty. And I'm sure there were theories like, oh, maybe this is where the ice key is going to go and the eggs. And I think these are the shelves that are maybe what the trophies are supposed to be on in Banjo Pilot, even though the house doesn't look like that when Banjo Pilot comes out. But Banjo Pilot's kind of nebulous in the timeline, isn't it? Anyway.
Right.
Hanging above these empty shelves is a picture of a beach. And in the original N64 version, it's the beach that takes place at the very end of the game, where they are relaxing on the beach, and the mysterious bikini human walks by, who we've named Melanie, because she's holding melons, Dustin.
Tee-hee, ho-ho.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Naughty. And Banjo and Kazooie are, like, in the beach here, and then Mumbo pops down from the palm tree, and he's like, yo, I got some naughty Polaroids.
Those are the best kind.
So that's what this beach is. And we don't know what beach this is, right? Like, it's not Treasure Trove Cove. It's the ending beach from the game. And this could be Donkey Kong Island for all we know. They go to Donkey Kong Island to relax. Let's say that.
Right.
Sun Sun Island from Jungle Climber. For all we know. Now, in the XBLA version, they replaced this picture with a picture of Treasure Trove Cove.
That's weird.
It's not so weird when you realize why they did it, and we'll talk about it, but what's weird to me is, like, you can even see Kazooie's feathers, I think, in the picture.
And, oh, yeah, I see him right there.
Yeah, and that's weird to me. Like, you couldn't at least collect these feathers before you take this screenshot?
Right. Like, it's weird to have that in a photo.
It is Treasure Trove Cove, like, at sunset, so they did do some manipulation on it, but...
That's nice, at least.
Yeah, but like, it's weird. And they try to, like, get the same evocative image of the original, but using a different art asset. Now, on the aforementioned chest of drawers that has 2D's picture on it, hanging above that is a picture of Banjo walking through a very, we'll call it a very fungusy forest.
Ooh.
And this picture is really the root of all of these conspiracy theories, because anybody who read Nintendo Power or other publications prior to Banjo-Kazooie's release will remember seeing that of the worlds planned for Banjo-Kazooie, there was one world called Fungi Forest.
What?
Yeah, and along with Mount Fire Eyes, which we believe was Nintendo Power mishearing Rare said Mount Fire Ice. and they thought it was Mount Fire Eyes, and that's what they published. And then
I've always thought Mount Fire Eyes was such a cool name.
It's a really cool name, but yeah. when you consider that in Banjo-Tooie we got Hailfire Peaks, which was Mount Fire Ice, you're like, oh shit. They were talking about what became Hailfire Peaks. And then there was Hammerhead Beach, which was the early name for Treasure Trove Cove. But we're thinking, oh my god, this is Fungi Forest. That's Hammerhead Beach over there. Stop and Swap or the Ice Key and the Eggs will unlock these worlds. These are previews of worlds we can access when we get these items.
So, that made me so sad just hearing you say all of that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make no, anyone okay. sad in this very cozy episode.
I'll get
episode.
Over it.
Were you made sad because of how pathetic it was or because of...
No, just knowing that there's no way that will ever be what it is.
No, and we know it's not what it is because eventually, circa 2015, or I guess late 2015, early 2016... Rare finally released a video as part of the promotional like epilogue to Rare Replay, where they gave us a look at the early versions of Banjo-Kazooie going all the way back to Dream on the Super Nintendo. And we learned from there that this picture of Banjo is actually a picture of the original 2.5D build of what became Banjo-Kazooie, a Banjo walking through what we thought was Fungi Forest, but in actuality is just this early build of the game.
Right. Still very cool. Still very interesting.
Yes. And I love the look of that early build of Banjo-Kazooie. Like, not as much as Banjo-Kazooie, but it's really cool to see. And, of course, some of that would inspire the early renders for Banjo-Kazooie, the promotional renders. There would be this environment they would pull from that would kind of match up with this. And we thought that was Fungi right. Forest as well, but
the forest one.
And of course, eventually the Donkey Kong 64 team reused some basic ideas for Fungi Forest as Fungus Forest in Donkey Kong 64.
Right.
I always confuse them though. I always mix them up in my brain. Fungi Forest versus Fungus Forest, and which was supposed to be in Banjo-Kazooie and which eventually wound up in Donkey Kong 64. I can never keep it straight in my head.
I usually can, but that's just because, Fungi Forest is probably my favorite world in the game.
Wait, is it Fungi Forest?
I remember it.
Is it Fungi Forest?
Fungi Forest is DK64. Fungus Forest, I think, was the original name for Banjo, maybe?
So I did screw it up.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Why did you say something?
You just seemed so, you were on such a roll.
And every time I think I've got it straight, then my brain switches them up and doesn't let me know. And I just continue talking with such confidence. And people go to update the trivia sections on wikis, and I'm leading them astray.
I just like the idea that the Fungi Forest wiki page is constantly shifting back and forth between fungus and fungi, depending on what you say.
On both, like, Donkey Kong wiki and Banjo-Kazooie wiki and Super Mario wiki.
They listen to the conversation, they're like, god damn it, we gotta change it again.
Ah, yeah. I think it was described to me by Steve from off of Rare Gamer once as, it's Fungus Forest in Banjo and Kazooie because they're a team. There's no I in us.
Us, that's a good way to remember it.
Although there's five Kongs that go through Fungi Forest, so...
Right, that's more than two.
That's where I get mixed up because Steve's little mnemonic device makes no sense. And so I can't keep... It actually made things worse for me.
Maybe someday we'll crack this code.
They could have
think of it like this. At least in Fungi Forest, it's I because you're only playing as one Kong at a time. It's Fungus in Banjo because you're playing as both at the same time. How about that?
Or they could have just used the same name. They didn't have to change it up for Donkey Kong 64. Like, Donkey Kong 64, you had enough on your plate. Did you really just have to say, no, let's change the name of this Banjo-Kazooie world that we're repurposing because we're strapped for time.
Can I copy your homework? Sure, just change it a little so it doesn't look like you copied.
That's all Donkey Kong 64 was copying Banjo's homework. Anyway, I say all this because in the XBLA version, they changed this picture of Fungus Forest to Click Clock Wood, which sucks.
It does suck. It's not nearly as cool.
And they even tried to get the same pose for Banjo. Like, it's a picture of Banjo in Click Clock Wood. Here's my problem with this, Dustin. We talk about Banjo and Kazooie should not know bottles, but they have a picture of bottles. Well, Banjo and Kazooie should have never been in Click Clock Wood prior to the events of Banjo Kazooie. So why is there a picture of them in Click Clock Wood? Or at least Banjo.
Yeah.
Now,
like, I can let it slide with Treasure Trove Cove since they're not in the picture, but it's a lot weirder here when, how do you explain them being there?
Yeah, maybe they, like, bought this picture of Treasure Trove Cove at Bed Bath & Beyond, R.I.P. or something. Like, it was, like, the filler picture in the frame, and they were like, well, that's lovely. I'm going to put that up on my wall.
Perfect.
Yeah. Now, I do have a theory on this, though, how we can explain this continuity discrepancy.
Okay.
So, the real reason, of course, is 4J Studios, who did the XBLA versions of Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, they did not have access to the original art assets. And because these are very blurry screenshots, like turned into sprites, on the N64, they wanted clearer pictures for the XBLA versions. You know, everything's
right, up-res, better textures.
Right, so they didn't have access to those, and I don't know why they couldn't just take a screenshot of the beach from the end of the game. Surely they could have gotten in there, and had they just waited 7 years, they could have watched that video on YouTube and gotten a screenshot from the early build of Banjo-Kazooie. So it's on them,
right?
Really,
right? But hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, so that's the reason they swapped them out with lookalikes, in-game lookalikes. But I think there can be some internal universe logic we can apply here, Dustin. So the XBLA versions of Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, now this is a theory I've posited in the past, they are and can only be explained by Banjo and Kazooie reliving the events of the games around the time of Nuts and Bolts. Like, the Lord of Games, for whatever reason, is making them relive this. And they don't really know that this is happening, but sometimes their consciousness creeps in. And they remember, wait, we've done this before. Because they'll make little comments. They'll make little references to Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, for example. And they'll, like, bleed through. Like, their real suppressed personalities from 2008 will bleed through in this facsimile of 1998 or 2000. And so,
okay.
My theory is that the portraits appearing as Treasure Trove Cove and Click Clock Wood, that's simply their brains trying to force them to recognize and remember that they've done this before. So it's like, Click Clock Wood, remember? You've done this. Treasure Trove Cove, you've been there.
You have to wake up, Banjo.
Wake up! That's my theory. And so, these portraits never look like Treasure Trove Cove and Click Clock Wood in reality. But in the version of reality that Log plopped them down into, sure.
Boy, I love that for you.
Look, I think it makes the story of Nuts and Bolts even grander that at some point the Lord of Games was like, you know what, you just have to go through and do everything over again.
We got to catch up these new audiences to your past adventures, so just do it again.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Banjo's house in Banjo-Kazooie. And thankfully, that's the bulk of the episode, because that's the most time we ever spend in Banjo's house. Now,
yeah, not a lot left after that.
Banjo's house does reappear in practically every Banjo-Kazooie game. Maybe not the mobile version. Like, it might appear in Grunty's Revenge Mobile edition, but it's the same. If it does, it's the same as Grunty's Revenge GBA.
Right.
But it, I don't think it appears in missions. I don't think it appears in missions. I might be wrong there. There, it's been a while since I played both, so.
And I haven't played them at all.
Oh, you would be in for a treat, Dustin.
Oh man, I'll have to put it on my backlog.
The great thing, at least about the original mobile edition of Granny's Revenge, because missions is its own thing. It's just taking the mini games and putting them in like their own package. But the original version of the original mobile edition of Granny's Revenge, because Granny's Revenge is basically taking the Banjo-Kazooie gameplay and making it into a Game Boy game.
Uh huh.
So imagine a handheld port of a handheld port. And that's what the mobile edition is. It's a demake of a
demake. Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really get off on it.
It sounds great.
Yeah. So, speaking of Grunty's Revenge. Now, Grunty's Revenge, of course, was not the next released Banjo-Kazooie game, but chronologically speaking, the relevant portions of Grunty's Revenge are next in the timeline. Because
it's 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months. Later in the summer of 1998, that's when the framing bits of Grunty's Revenge take place before all the time travel to 1978. And so we see the exterior of Banjo's house in Grunty's Revenge. And you know what? It looks pretty much the same. It's the house is maybe tinted a little bit more purple, but
yeah. But I think you can just chalk that up to like lighting.
Yes, and we only see the exterior of it. But here's something cool: the door is open the other way.
No fucking way.
We have confirmation the door swings completely on its hinges, and it can go out and in. So yeah,
there's so many things you could do.
Pretty mind-blowing. And I don't know why any of the contemporary reviews of Grunty's Revenge didn't bring that up.
It's you'd think they would notice something like that.
You think they would, and they didn't, because they failed at their jobs. But there is one minor discrepancy in Grunty's Revenge, and it's ironically the best piece of continuity. So the grill from their little cookout is still sitting outside. Like they've brought in all of the like picnic tables and chairs and the umbrellas, but the grill remained, and Royston is still on the grill. As he mentions in Banjo-Tooie, he says he was thrown off the grill, remember?
And right, so they just left him there.
They left him to stew in the grilled juices and rainwater for over 2 years. They probably thought he was dead. And they're like,
even then, you don't leave like a dead fish on your grill. You got to use that grill for something else.
Well, apparently they didn't. They didn't have any more cookouts. And they're like, Grunty's Revenge starts with Banjo saying, "Hey, Kazooie, I'll clean the barbecue." Like, it's been 2 months. We're finally getting around to it. And of course, they never get around to it, because then a new adventure falls into their laps. But the grill looks quite different at the beginning of Grunty's Revenge than it does in the end, or the first ending to Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, how do you explain this, Heil?
Well, I think you just have to squint and say they're the same grill, and maybe... No, look, the grill in Banjo-Kazooie, it was all, like, dirty metal, and the legs just went down straight. Like, four legs, just went down straight. The grill in Grunty's Revenge
It's a tripod grill.
It's a tripod, yes. Now, it's possible there were multiple leg attachments to this grill to suit your grilling needs.
Like you could have it, you could do a compact grilling session if you wanted.
Yes, like maybe for whatever reason you needed to use a tripod legging situation, and so you could like take off the legs of the other grill and insert. Now, why they would do this when the fish is already on there, like after the fact? So that doesn't make any sense. Maybe it just looks like it's a tripod from above, and there's actually four legs there, but it's obscured by the long grass underneath, because they wouldn't have cut the grass or the...
That, boy, Heil, are you Stretch Armstrong over here?
This one's hard, Dustin. The grill discrepancy is one of the most challenging things I've ever been thrown. It's not a simple matter of, oh, the Porsche's changed because Log is making them relive the events of this game. There's nothing quite as concise and simple as that. This is actually quite the headache. And you know what? I think we might have to table this discussion for now. Eventually...
Right, this could be a whole episode.
Eventually, we're going to have to do a whole episode on just the grill alone. And I really look forward to that, because I think, you know, we do these Destination DKU episodes where we talk about a region in the Rare Archipelago. We do these Gib Creep episodes where we talk about specific domiciles in the Rare Archipelago. We could take it down even further and talk about just like household wares, you know, homewares.
Right.
Yeah. And we could do an entire episode about how to make sense of Banjo's grill and why it changes appearances between Banjo's.
I think we might need to do that sooner rather than later, now that we brought it up.
Well, I think we leave them wanting. I think we
need... Oh, that's a good point. Because we'll give them something to chew on.
I want our audience to really think about it. And I want it to be something that they speculate on and they debate, fiercely debate, for years to come.
Totally. Heil, can I just say, I super love how you can say, oh, obviously, Log is making them re-experience Banjo-Kazooie and Tooie. That's the only explanation for these portraits being different. You can come up with all these headcanons, but when it comes to this grill, it's like, yeah, it's probably just the same one. Probably just, like, looks different.
Yeah, you know, Dustin, I can be fanciful, and I can be pragmatic at the same time.
Right. I like that you know how to pick your battles.
Yeah, I know when to hold them. I know when to fold them.
That's my favorite thing about you.
That's right. So, yeah. So, other than that, perfect continuity between Banjo-Kazooie and Grunty's Revenge. And I just love the inane cruelty of leaving Royston on the grill.
They could have taken him off at any time.
And this was set up by Banjo-Tooie, too. So this is just them paying off this weird little bit of lore and saying, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And the reason they never got Royston off the grill is because Gruntilda time-traveled them.
We were this close. Sorry, buddy.
You know, that's my excuse whenever I never clean up. It's like, oh yeah, sorry, my nemesis showed up and I went back 2 decades.
Yeah, I was sent to the 70s and I had to, you know, save a bird.
Yeah. Oh man. So Banjo-Tooie gave us a glimpse of Banjo's house in the year 2000, and it's virtually identical. Right. But here's the thing, Dustin. I think we see another room in Banjo's house in Banjo-Tooie. And it's not something you often think about, because it's something you see every time you play the game. But it's not something you're going to spend a lot of time really mulling over, because you want to get into the action.
Right, it's like, oh, this is the menu, okay.
Yes, it is the menu of the game, where you can select the file, or you can, you know, your options, or whatever, what have you. but it seems to be a completely different room in Banjo's house. Not just, oh, they redecorated. Well, we see in the opening card game that no, they have not redecorated. In fact, it looks exactly the same. So, remember when I said I had a theory about the kitchenette?
Oh boy, do I ever.
Yeah. So, speaking of file select screens, menus. The menu of the original Banjo-Kazooie, you know, it shows them at different parts of the house. Banjo's right. Sleeping in the bed, and then you on file one, and you wake him up, and he wakes up, he goes, guh. File two, the one I played my original cartridge on, shows Banjo, he's got a stew on. He's
stewing it up.
He's cooking at the kitchenette. He's making some honey and leek soup. I don't know. And then file three, he's in his big comfy chair playing the Game Boy.
Right.
Not reading a book like a nerd, playing a Game Boy like a fucking stud.
Yeah, the Chad Banjo.
Yeah, or the Heil Banjo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are the little animations you've got. But there's a randomized element to each one that will really freak you out the first time it happens. It's like Rare's version of a jump scare. And I don't know what the percentages are. Like, the odds are that you can trigger one of these. But you will trigger alternate animations, like they get sprung out of the comfy chair.
Right.
Or, at the kitchenette, it spins around like a hidden wall.
Like a Scooby-Doo trap wall.
Like Ghoulhaven Hall. Like that bit,
yeah,
in Ghoulhaven Hall.
That's better, yeah.
Yeah, that's more relevant, right? What the hell Scooby-Doo?
I don't know why I said that.
Those words are foreign to my mouth.
That's weird.
Yeah, no. Ghoulhaven Hall, there's that bit where Cooper catches up to Amber and she's all tied up. And he's like, I've saved you. And then the wall spins and Cooper's like, oh,
whoa.
Yeah, and Cooper's lame. But that implies that there is a hidden wall in the kitchenette. And remember how I said the house seemed to be built into the mountainside, into the valley?
Right, yeah.
Dustin, there's a whole other part of the house we've never explored.
Oh my freaking goodness, I think you're right.
And you could say that's just a silly little Heil theory. You could say that all the live long day, but then you go to the Banjo-Tooie menu and you say, wait a second, the wallpaper is the same, but this is carpeted. This has a purplish carpet on the floor.
Yeah. Hmm, how strange.
And there's a whole corner. Because in the XBLA version, we get a little bit of a expanded out view of it, and we see that there is a floor lamp, and it's in the corner. And there is a corner, and there's actually a portrait hanging there. It's some sort of Rare-related portrait, because I can see the Rare logo in the XBLA version.
I wonder what that is.
I don't know.
There's no way to know.
And I have no contacts at 4J Studios to ask them what they put there. But yeah, so this is like their gaming room or their entertainment room.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I like that. I like that they have just a room. Because in the living room, you have, like, the bookshelf. Banjo plays his Game Boy in there.
Yeah.
But it still feels like just a nice, cozy little area Banjo wanted to have. This is like a room dedicated to gaming.
Yeah, or like TV, because they've got this little... Yeah.
A bonus room, an entertainment room.
Yeah, an entertainment room. They've got, like, a honeycomb-shaped TV that they have their N64 hooked up to. They've got what might be a VCR, given the time. It might be an early DVD player. I'm not really sure what that's supposed to be. They got more books in there, but they've
got... Or maybe they're VHS tapes.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah, I think these could be, like, the porn Boggy didn't want.
Here, you can have these ones. I'm done with them.
Yeah, I've used them up, if you know what I mean.
Just don't, they don't spark the same joy they once did.
Yeah, I'm into far more depraved stuff than this vanilla ass porn.
I'm awake now.
Yeah. This is the best discussion I've ever had with you, Dustin, concerning adult films.
It's at least in the top five.
Definitely, definitely. I'm going to rank them. So, I'll rank them later. We've also got a waste basket, a small little, like, waste paper basket. And, you know, they have three trash bins outside. But, like, where are they putting their trash when they don't want to go out at night? Right here. Right.
Right. This is perfect for, like, their Hot Pocket wrappers and such.
Red such, yeah. And, you know... We've never established where Banjo be pooping.
True. That could be a literal waste basket.
Oh, well, I wasn't trying to imply he was actually poop. That was a bad segue. That's on me. That's on me. I wasn't trying to imply he just squats over this blue waste bin and does his nasty. I think
I'm a little alarmed how fast I was willing to just accept it, though.
Yeah, I mean, consider we were just talking about Boggy. I'm sure that's what Boggy would do.
Right.
Boggy's foul. But my thing is, if there's an entertainment room that can be accessed via the spinning kitchenette, then there might even be a bathroom with, like, a shower and a toilet that doesn't talk.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Like, in this back room, you get kind of the rooms they don't need to show off to everybody. There's the bathroom, you know, the game room for... if you're playing a game with friends, you might get loud. You might want to block it off from the rest of the house.
Especially because the rest of the house has the bedroom. So you don't
exactly
you don't want to bring an all-night gaming session into the bedroom at this point in their lives. And so, yeah, like, my thing, you know, I hate pooping. I've gone on this screed against the very act, and I hate it, Dustin. And when I do have to do it, because I'm only human, I try to disassociate myself from it as much as I can. And
you're a shy pooper, you would say. I think that's fair.
Yeah, so I need solitude is what I'm saying. And I can't do it in an open floor studio setting.
I'm there with you, Heil. I'm very closed off about it.
And so this idea that they can poop in the utmost privacy, that makes Banjo's Cottage all the more tantalizing and appealing for me. I'm feeling the cottagecore lifestyle vicariously right now, because this is everything I want. I have a room for gaming, I have a room for pooping, and the rest.
What else could you need? And the rest.
Yeah. So, like, this is my ideal setup right here.
Right. I'm guessing there's also a room back there just for, like, general storage, just to put stuff they don't need.
Glad you said that. Stuff like picnic tables.
Exactly
chairs.
What I was thinking, Heil.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And also, can I just point out, on the XBLA menu screen for 2E, they've swapped out the N64 is still there. But they've swapped out the Banjo-Tooie game box with a Nuts and Bolts game box.
They got a Nuts and Bolts box. That ain't gonna work in that 64.
No, but that's also, like, Banjo and Kazooie's consciousness trying to, like, tell them, this isn't right, this isn't adding up. It's 2008. Remember!
That really puts, like, a sinister spin on these remakes.
Yeah, it's the Lord of Games.
I had nightmares. I feel like that's like 90% of my nightmares is like, oh, I'm in this, like, nice setting, but something's off. Something about this is not right.
It's like when you're...
And I need to wake up right now.
You're, like, back in school, but you're like, I graduated. I graduated years ago. What am I doing here?
Yeah, I have dreams where I'm, like, at the mall... Or I've had, like, recurring dreams where I'm at Disneyland, but something is just, like, off about it. And so I'm like, I'm supposed to be enjoying this, but this is not the Disneyland I know. What is going on here?
This is not the Disneyland I know. So
this is not my beautiful Disneyland.
This is not my beautiful house. This is not my beautiful wife. So, a little talking heads for you. I know how much you're a big fan of David Byrne.
Oh, of course. Thank you, Heil.
You're welcome. So, as I said, the rest of the house is the same at this in this opening part of 2E. And in fact, I actually compared the XBLA versions with the N64 versions, and I had to up the brightness and contrast on the XBLA version because they made it so dark. But I did confirm that the portraits are swapped out. It's the same set they used for Banjo-Kazooie in the Banjo-Tooie opening in both games. So the portraits of the two 0.5D Banjo and the ending beach are the same in the N64 version of 2E, and then in the XBLA version, they're the swapped out Click Clock Wood and Church of Trove Cove portraits. I know everybody
that makes
really
sense.
Cares. I know everybody really cares about that, but the biggest difference is they added a poker table, and they plopped it right down in the middle where the carpet is.
Yeah, that's fun. It looks like they moved Banjo's comfy chair over to the side.
Oh yeah, and there's a lamp. There's a floor lamp that they added in the corner too, which is what's actually providing the light, because the fireplace is out, is extinguished. They're not having the fireplace going in this poker scene. So
yeah, they don't need a fire going right now, but they still need light.
It also looks like they changed the curtains. And we didn't talk about the curtains, yeah. Dustin. But the curtains in Banjo-Kazooie, they're purple and with like yellow specks.
Yeah. And in Kazooie, they were like... in Kazooie, they were purple with the yellow specks. Here in Tooie, they are sky blue with big yellow circles on them.
That's right. So I take it back. It's not... identical. They did add a floor lamp, and they did get new curtains.
Some updates.
They didn't stay stagnant. The cuckoo clock, though, it's still 10 to 8. So either the clock is just completely broken, or this is 7:50 p.m. when the events of Banjo-Tooie unwind. And really, just 7:50 is a cursed time for Banjo and Kazooie.
Right, like it just happened to be that exact time when we join our heroes in Tooie.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Actually, Dustin, it looks like there's the two comfy chairs. It looks like they got a second comfy chair.
Oh,
because there's one behind Bottles where it was in Banjo-Kazooie, and then there's
that's true.
Yeah,
they just got one for each side.
You know what else they got during this time?
What did they get?
They got a second goldfish.
Oh, there he is.
Whoop, there he is. So, this is one of those things where it's probably an oversight, because in the actual game, when you catch back up with Royston, he's underneath a boulder outside of Banjo's house, and he says he was thrown off the barbecue when Banjo's house blew up. But they reused the majority of the set, if you will, for Banjo's house. And they didn't think that, oh, we should probably take out the goldfish because he's canonically on the grill right now. So you can see Royston behind Banjo's left shoulder when he's playing cards and I think a scene or maybe two. But that can't be Royston. And so
right
at DK Vine, we came up with the Fannin patch that, oh, they must have just assumed Royston was dead, and they just got another goldfish during this time. And
as you do.
Clearly they never bothered to bury Royston, so there wasn't that much of an attachment, as callous as it seems, but...
Right, they didn't know that it was a talking, thinking goldfish.
Right, I think Matt was the one who gave him the name Roystonbury, and I don't know where he pulled that. It's a very Matt Corna name. It's just a, where did you come up with that? But that's what we call him, and that's what we've stuck with. Roystonbury, don't get too attached to him because he immediately gets incinerated.
Oh, man, I just said I loved it.
Yeah, so you know how Royston seems indestructible, right? Royston has survived grilling, survived being cooked. He's gotten he's gotten thwacked with a golf club.
He's tenacious.
Yeah, Roystonbury was debuted in this background scene, and he's immediately incinerated and never spoken of again.
Yeah, he was okay with dying. He wasn't a fighter like Royston.
Yeah, I do like that Royston somehow can't die, and then this goldfish just the very first
immediately
thing he does.
Yeah, they probably got this fish like the day before this.
Right, they came home from the pet store, or they won it at the like fair or something.
You're gonna live a long time, Roystonbury.
They buried. They didn't even get a chance to bury Roystonbury. He was just atomized. So yeah.
Oh my god.
Of course, Gruntilda sends a magic spell to Banjo's house and blows it up. I mean, it's still standing. Like the structure, the bones are still standing, but it's basically burnt out completely. Interior,
right?
At least the interior, what we call the studio space, the living space.
Yeah, just annihilated.
Anything beyond like the spinning kitchenette that might have survived, like
right, the gaming room.
Yeah, the
toilet.
Their N64 is still safe, but
thank God
everything is destroyed except for the large portrait of Tootie that was behind the goldfish.
Right, that one's, like, barely hanging on. It's still scorched to death.
It's scorched, but it survived. I like the fact that it survived, because, of course, Tootie is not in Banjo-Tooie, so I like that this little reminder of her beyond the milk carton in Cloud Cuckoo Land is hanging on.
Yeah, me too. I like that.
And like I said, the kitchenette, the stonework, the brickwork of the kitchenette must be a facade, because when you go into Banjo's destroyed house, there's just burnt wallpaper where it was.
Maybe they decided to put wallpaper over it. They were like, you know what? I like the idea at the time, but I'm not really feeling the bricks.
Well, we see the bricks in the poker scene, so.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Now, if it spins, apparently, I guess the spinning mechanism might still work, you know, but it really makes you think Bottle should have run through the spinning kitchenette and he would have survived.
Right, if only he was playing the N64 at the time.
Like, maybe he wasn't thinking and he didn't think it would, like, serve as a bomb shelter or whatever, but...
Right, and who knows, maybe the stuff behind that door is just totally destroyed.
It could be, but later on we see in Nuts and Bolts something that suggests that either they got a new N64 or their N64 survived.
Right.
But yeah, the house, like the outer structure is destroyed. I think the chimney, the outer structure is standing. The windows are blown out. The door's destroyed. The chimney has like, is completely gone. The trash cans have also blown away, but they can rebuild, right? Like,
yeah,
we know they never moved out. Like, maybe they crashed at Bottle's family's house for a while. Maybe they,
I could see that they became friends with them in Tooie. They were like, hey, let us stay with you for a bit while our house gets all fixed up.
Or maybe Banjo went back and lived at home while they like tried to renovate a little bit.
I could see that.
In Banjo Pilot, the only early 2005, the only bits of Banjo's house we see are the like trophy area, and it looks like they might have renovated a little bit there, but Royston's back. Like they've got Royston in a fishbowl there, but it's nebulous when that takes place in the timeline, and for all we know, they could have built this little trophy area but it doesn't necessarily mean that they restored the rest of the house to its former glory. And we know they didn't restore the rest of its house, the house to its former glory, because we see that they did not in Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
Yeah, it's not looking so great.
Yeah, the thing about the house in Nuts and Bolts is that, like, from a quick cursory glance, you're like, oh, you know, they've just updated the look because it's on the 360 now. You know, you're not working with the limitations of the past. So they're making it look a little bit worse for wear. And I was like, no, it's supposed to look like this. It's supposed to look dilapidated because they did a half-assed job repairing it from Banjo-Tooie.
Right. Yeah. You can see, like, the roof has pretty bad patching.
Yeah, the roof, they just put, like, sheet metal over the holes.
Yeah, good enough.
They boarded, like, they've repaired some of the windows, and then they just, like, boarded up the ones they didn't bother repairing.
Yeah, we'll get to it eventually.
They did try to, like, add a little bit. They added Banjo's name to the front door. But even that is just, like, they didn't do a good job nailing it because the A...
Yeah, the A fell off.
The A fell off. And it's just like, what are you doing? And...
Come on, that's not that hard.
You can see the interior a bit through the windows, but also on the select screen. The beautiful select screen that gives us so much knowledge about Banjo's house, Dustin. And it's become a right shithole, has it not?
Boy, it sure has.
Yeah, they're living in absolute squalor at this point in their lives. And I think it's because they didn't bother repairing it fully from Gruntilda's attack. Now, here's a couple points we can hit. Royston's back yet again. And so
there he is.
I've got some theories about how Royston keeps coming back, but I think the end of the day, it's because Royston has the worst luck of anyone in the DKU. Like, he's extraordinarily lucky because he cheats death, but he's also very unlucky because he wants to die.
Oh man, duality.
Yeah, they no longer have the beautiful wallpaper that we both love so much, the honey yellow, like, floral pattern. It's now, like, I guess the wallpaper is completely faded, or it's been bleached, and it's just in tatters all around.
Yeah, because you can still see the, like, suns or flowers or whatever decorations on them, but it's faded.
Yeah, it's faded and it's torn and they've never fixed it, and, like, it's still hardwood floor, but of course, like, all of their furniture was destroyed, at least in the living area, the studio space. And so they've added this... What is this, Dustin? Did they put a chair on top of a mattress and turn that into a pretend race car?
I guess so. I mean, that's the only explanation I have. And there's a big pile of 360s behind it.
Yeah, so from what I gather, because this is the same TV that they play at the beginning of the game. And so this is, like, their gaming setup now. And I guess they have a racing game, and so they have, like, a steering wheel for the racing game, but they've, like, eschewed any actual adult bed to, like, I guess Banjo was using this mattress on the floor, and then he was like, they got really into this racing game, and they were like, well, what if we put the chair on the mattress and put the wheel up here, and that's like a race car? And
it's like, great, Banjo, cool, then what?
Yeah, they've completely, like, just given up any sense of normalcy or decency. Like, they're living almost as deviant a lifestyle as Boggy.
Yeah, it's sad to see.
They've got a new chest of drawers, and I guess it's because it's visually similar to Banjo's old two chest of drawers, so they must have been able to purchase another one locally. They bought it, like, in 2001 or something. They were able to find the same one at, you know, Target or whatever. But they, like, they've pushed the chest of drawers like as a stairway up to the race car chair, and it's just like, okay,
ridiculous.
They do have a pile of 360s, a mountain of 360s, and I guess those were 360s that Red ringed on them.
Yeah, boy, it's just an absolute madness in this house.
Yeah, and they've added a couple of like new things. They've got what seems to be a new heater that they've like put in because they don't have like their old stove or their I guess the fireplace has been destroyed, so they had to like make do. They've got like they're hoarding an old flight pad for Kazooie. And they've got a new picture of Bottles where he's, like, standing atop a molehill. Now, I don't know if this is, like, another portrait that Bottles painted over that he stole from who knows where. Like, maybe he stole this from Peach's castle. Like, I don't know. Like, he was like, here, this is, like, Bomb on Battlefield, but I painted over it. Can you store this? Can you store this in your house? I don't want...
Yeah, this is good enough.
I don't want the mushroom feds after me. But yeah, this is sad because I loved their cottage before this, and this sucks.
Yeah, you know, it just really speaks to how lazy they've gotten over the years. Like, they just didn't bother to fix any of this stuff up. And it works if you're trying to sell that idea. I like to think that after the events of Nuts and Bolts, after Logs kind of fixed them up, you know, they're rejuvenated. I like to think that as soon as this adventure was over and they go home, they're like, we gotta fix this place. This is not good.
Well, there's a little bit to support your theory there, Dustin, but we'll get to it here in a second. But I do like the consequences of this huge setback, which would be an absolutely devastating setback for any of us. Like, even if I could own a small home, if it was completely incinerated from the inside out, that would be a setback I could not recover from, right?
Yeah, like, I think so too.
Game over, right? Like, I was doing my taxes last week, and because I basically, you know, started freelancing at the end of the year, and my wife got a new job, and we like I had the nerve to sign up for healthcare last year for the first time in close to like 7 years.
Right.
And because of that, because my projected income changed, I was fined $3,000. Because I had healthcare.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And that's it's a huge financial setback for me. So if a witch blew up my innards, it would be pretty much worse, I would say.
Man, I'm sorry, Kyle.
No,
that sounds like the worst situation, this whole tax thing.
No, but I'm saying it's a positive because a witch has not completely destroyed all of my possessions.
That's true. It could always be worse.
It could always be worse. And I'm looking at Banjo and Kazooie and I'm like, one, I love that there are consequences in this universe. Like,
right.
Things aren't just glossed over. It's not just everything reverts to the status quo. Everything's just happy, even after this huge traumatic event. But it pains me because I love the way their house looked before this.
I loved Banjo's house, and now it's gone and it will never be the same.
And they seem to, even though they don't want to fix it up, and maybe they don't have the means to fix it up. I don't know. There's probably no stipend for Banjo. Like, Timber doesn't send him a check for helping save the island that one time. Like, he doesn't get, like, royalties or anything. I don't know how it works, but you know, maybe they don't have the ability, the money to fix it up. But also, like, you might be right. They might just be lazy and they just are not motivated anymore. And even though they've like made their bed into a race car, so to speak, they seem to also recognize how demoralizing it is because they seem to spend all of their time outside.
Right, just playing video games with an outside setup.
They got a beanbag chair, and they, like, pull their TV out, and they have a new radio, And they actually have a new 360, but they also still have their old N64 on the ground. It's like wrapped up in cords, but it's an N64, which I love that Rare was confident enough to just slide that in there. Like at the height of
it's fine.
At the height of like the division from like referencing Nintendo stuff, it's like, nah, put an N64 in there. But
yeah.
Yeah, like Kazooie's playing N64, or not N64. Well, she might be playing N64 later, but she's playing a 360. Banjo's scarfing down pizza in the beanbag chair, listening to the radio. And they don't want to spend any time inside their house.
Right. It just reminds them of where their life is right now. And they just want to go outside and do fun stuff.
Yeah, like do stuff they do inside, but outside.
Yeah, exactly.
They also, because the trash bins, the three trash cans, were incinerated, they've got a replacement at this point in time, and it maybe speaks to the volume of garbage they are producing, all of these pizza boxes that they are accumulating. They brought in an entire dumpster.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at this point they are going to have a lot more garbage.
Yeah, and they even have a little, like, plank, like a gangplank going up into the dumpster. That's how pathetic their lives are at this point. Like, they can't just throw things in a dumpster. They're like, ugh, I gotta walk it up.
Too much. Yeah, they barely even want to do that.
So this is a U-Dump brand dumpster, Dustin. And if that name rings a bell, congratulations, you have the sickness. Because you recognize that is the dumpster from Grabbed by the Ghoulies.
Woo! Hell yeah. Yeah.
This is the same brand dumpster that was seen in Ghoulhaven Hall's garbage yard that Cooper spun around and killed a bunch of spiders with.
Love that. I love that. Even if Ghoulies will never get a sequel, I love that things from Ghoulies can carry on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Conquer Live and Reloaded, Viva Pinata, Nuts and Bolts, Sea of Thieves eventually. Am I right, Rare?
Huh?
So, because this is a U-Dump brand dumpster, did they order this dumpster? Like, have it specialty ordered? Like, they went on... Maybe they went on Craig Duncan's list, and they looked for, like, dumpsters. Like, we need an entire fucking dumpster, Kazooie, because we're garbage people.
We got
now.
Too much trash.
They're living, like, off the grid like Danny DeVito and It's Always Sunny. They're just, like, they're just being foul little monsters. And they're like, we need an entire dumpster, or else this lifestyle will not work for us. And so they went on Craigslist. They ordered a U-Dump dumpster, and assuming U-Dump is the garbage company in Ghoulsville in the Gloom, or Need in the Nuts, one of the, like, towns adjacent to Ghoulhaven Hall, it's possible this dumpster is actually originating from there, and it made its way towards Spiral Mountain somehow, and they ordered it in. This might be how Royston got back.
Oh, you know what? That tracks. Like, after the Baron was kicked out of the mansion, you know, they cleaned it up, they threw some stuff out, and Royston got tossed in with the trash.
Yeah, so my theory was always that after Cooper and Amber liberated Ghoulhaven Hall and the staff kind of took it over, maybe they eventually realized this goldfish can fucking talk. And Royston was like, you gotta set me free. And because Royston is apparently a saltwater goldfish, they like set him down in the ocean and he swam back. But it's also possible that Fiddlesworth was like, fuck, this goldfish can talk, and threw him away.
Get it out of, it's a ghoulie, obviously. This is a haunted goldfish.
Yeah, or it's probably Babs. Babs Buff Brass was like, ah!
Oi!
Oi! Oi! Just Yeah, I'm not going to do...
Get this goldfish out of here!
Yeah. Oh, maybe this goldfish can talk! That's my bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, holy shit, man!
Oh my god, a talking gold! Get it out of here! That's scary.
I repent. I changed my lifestyle. This is wrong. The laws of nature are all askew right now because of my sinful life.
Man, that's just so Babs Buff Brass, the way we know and love her.
Well, I know these characters like the back of my hand, Dustin. What can I say? So, yeah, Babs probably threw out Royston. He wound up in a U-dump dumpster. Banjo-Kazooie ordered it in, brought him back in, maybe in time for Banjo-Pilot. And that's how Royston, at least for the first time around, got back to Spiral Mountain. Maybe the second time around, I don't know. But, like, I think the U-dump dumpster implies some sort of connectivity between Ghoulhaven and Banjo's house. Ergo, Royston came back in it, and he was like, you gotta be kidding me.
It's perfect. And Banjo looks in the dumpster, and he's like, oh, hey, this is the goldfish we used to have. Sweet.
There's also a bunch of other stuff in the dumpster. I mean, besides the Lardo's pizza boxes, there's tickets to Witchy World. There are the Whatnot book from Cameo is in there somehow.
Yeah. Mr. Ribs head.
Yeah, I don't really... Well, like, I think a couple Mr. Ribs heads. I'm not really sure what's going on there.
Maybe they're recreations.
Just like...
Maybe someone liked Mr. Ribs so much, but they made too many of them.
Just like on Pinata Island, you know, you can have the replica of Mr. Ribs that's not actually Mr. Ribs.
Yeah, I mean, he helped save the day. He helped liberate Ghoulhaven Hall. Maybe he's a hero, but... there's lots of decorations modeled after him.
Maybe. And he is a hero, Dustin.
Yeah.
He should be in more games.
I think so, too. He can be the special little cameos we see.
He can be, like, what, one-third of the Chief Belodazin games devote their time to, so we can then spin off Mr. Ribs from the Chief Belodazin games.
Right, yeah, see? That's part of the strategy.
That's how you
build. We gotta set it up.
That's how you build a shared universe. That's where they went wrong.
Yeah, you take a big chunk out of an unrelated movie to dedicate to it.
That's where Rare went wrong, Dustin. They went wrong because they stopped making games for the shared universe.
you know what? That might have been where they went wrong, yeah.
Oh, I see. You're supposed to keep making Banjo-Kazooie games.
Now I get it.
Easy mistake. But now you know. Yeah,
I mean, I've never made a Banjo game, so, you know, we've all done it.
Been there, trust me. So, the other thing they've added, that they bothered to add, like, they didn't bother fixing up their shithole cottage, but they did put a grave for bottles.
This is weird.
Yeah, so... There's, like, a landmarks, right? And you can, like, visit it, and it's like, oh, remember when? And this is Bottle's grave. It's right outside the fence to their house. And it says, you go to it, and you get this little description. It says, R.I.P. Bottles. Banjo and Kazooie's mole associate tragically died here in 2000. But by the way, I just love that the Rare shared universe, the Donkey Kong universe, operates in real time.
Yeah.
Like,
same.
Yeah, it's not just like, oh, like several years ago, like a sliding nebulous thing. It's like, no, he died in 2000. Pre-9/11. But managed to rise from the dead about a week later, which is also...
So 2E canonically takes place over a week.
Yeah, that's like the first time I think we're... actually informed about the length of the time, because I think Banjo-Kazooie is supposed to take place over the course of a day, which always felt a bit too robust for me. Like, that's an exhausting day.
Yeah, that's a lot to fit in.
Like, I know Conker's Bad Fur Day actually does take place between a day, but, like, you're supposed to feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Like, Banjo-Kazooie, like, I could see them camping or sleeping in Mumbo's hut, and, like, maybe a couple days pass. But, yeah, a week seems about right for Tui.
I agree. That works.
Anyway,
it's very weird that they put up this whole display considering, well, A, it wasn't there in Tui at all. Bottles came back to life.
Right.
So they put this little grave for Bottles up after he came back to life.
So here's my theory on that, because I have a theory.
Okay.
I don't have a theory on the grill, but I have a theory on everything else.
The grill is the one thing where you're like, I can't make heads or tails of this.
Yeah, the grill is the one where I'm like, ow, my heel. Because I'm Achilles. Okay, that the grill represents. Okay, it's my one, my kryptonite, if you will.
Right, I get you.
Yeah, so my theory is that, of course, yeah, Bottles was just a charred corpse in this spot, roughly, for about a week, and then he was resurrected. And we know from Nuts and Bolts that the whole act of him basically Jesusing, although he was dead for longer than Jesus, according to this.
Where's his holiday?
Right now. It's Bottles Day.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. I didn't get him anything.
Peace be to you, my brother.
Oh, thanks, Isle. Yeah. And to you.
Well, you've got me something. You're doing this delightful episode with me.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. It's a Bottles Day miracle. So we know, like, him resurrecting put a strain on his marriage, because for whatever reason, him coming back to life, even though he's not a zombie, even though, like, it's a perfectly valid resurrection, it was just too much for his wife to handle, and she left him.
Right.
So
rude, honestly.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I guess till death do us part, like, he died, so she has an out.
She's just been waiting for this.
It's a technicality for sure, but it's there in the fine print. Like, nothing about resurrections.
Right. Bottles just has to accept it. He's like, well, I guess that's true.
I also like that she was fine. Like, she didn't know he died, right?
Right.
And he didn't, like, break that news to her till later. Like, maybe even a couple years later, he was like, by the way, remember when I was, like, late for dinner for about a week? It's because I was a smoldering corpse in Spiral Mountain.
And well, I think he tells her at the end of Tui, because she's angry at him for being late for dinner, and he says, I told you already, I was blasted by the witch, and she's like, yeah, yeah.
She didn't believe him, though. Like, eventually,
yeah,
he got through to her and made her believe him, and then she was like, ah!
Too much for me.
Like, this is not normal. This is some demonic sorcery, and I can't have any part of it. So she left. But I think that Kazooie commissioned this tombstone
just to add insult to injury.
Yeah, like I think Kazooie likes Bottles a lot more than she lets on. But I think this is the kind of bitchy move she would do, and she would, like, devote money to. To, like, you died and it ruined your marriage.
Yeah, the kind of thing that you get to, you know, poke fun at a friend.
Yeah, like, it's...
Friend is maybe a loose word here, but still, it's that same kind of thing.
It's the kind of needling that maybe you go too far sometimes because you think it's all in good fun and your friend can take it, but it's really, like, destroying them on the inside, and you're like, oh...
It's actually really hurtful.
I'm sorry, like, I just thought that's the kind of relationship we had, and that's the
kind of... Yeah, I thought that was, like, our whole dynamic.
And that's what Kazooie's whole dynamic is with Bottles, but, you know... Read the room.
Yeah. People don't want to be reminded of when they died.
When they died and it, like, ruined their lives. But, you know, you could also use that money to, like, fix the wallpaper.
Yeah, there's plenty of house there that money could go to.
So at the end of Nuts and Bolts, Jolly Roger shows up. It's the first time we see Jolly Roger hanging out at Banjo's house. But they're friends, you know, they... Banjo,
yeah.
Pilot at least established some sort of kinship between Jolly Roger and the core poker playing unit. And, Jolly begins the process of fixing up their house. But of course he paints it all pink because LOL, gay.
Right, I get it.
Yeah, like, uh-oh, like, he's gay and he painted our house pink, and that's not what we want. What?
Pink? Could you imagine such a color?
And, you know, it's very dated. Like, it's like right. they do a better job with Jolly Roger each time he's in a game. Like, all three times. Because in Banjo-Tooie, he's a very fun character. But it's played very camp, and there's a lot of crass sexual innuendo involved with it. Right?
Right.
It's very, like, British lads humor circa 2000. In Banjo Pilot, it's just matter of fact, yeah, he's Jolly Roger, and he's a friend of theirs, and he's racing in this game.
He's jolly, he's flying a plane, that's all.
That's all. Yeah, and actually, Banjo Pilot is his best depiction, because they don't focus on the fact that he's gay. Like, they can focus on that. That can be an aspect of him, because it's who he is, but, like, don't, like, be juvenile about it. It's just who he is. And Nuts and Bolts, they do a better job, but then at the end, LOL, painted the house pink. Because because he's gay and he must love the color pink. Here's the thing, Dustin, I like the color pink.
Yeah, I like it. I don't think there's any colors I like hate except for all those ugly yellows I said earlier.
And I don't like, what's a sad color? I don't like certain greens.
Oh, interesting.
I don't like pea soup
like,
green.
Like, what green? Yeah.
Because it just reminds me of pea soup, which is a food.
And we all know how much you hate food.
Yeah. But, like, Jolly also fixes the banjo lettering, and we can see through the window, the interior is still a wreck. But I like to think that Jolly helped them from this point on. He was like, you know, this is just after the original Queer Eye show, where it's like, you know, we're going to give you a makeover. We're going to give you slob, straight dudes, a fashion glow up.
Right.
And then the more recent Queer Eye show on Netflix is a lot more about, we're going to give anybody, not just slobby straight dudes, but we're just going to come in and we're going to not only just give you a makeover, we're going to give you life advice, and we're gonna show you like how you can turn things around because you deserve it. And it's a lot more like life affirming rather than just fashion and style oriented. But I say all this because I like to think that Jolly was inspired by that, and he was like, you know what, my straight friends kind of suck, and they need my help. And aside from this pink paint thing, he actually did a really good job of it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I like to think that after this adventure is over, you know, Log helped him out, it made him fit and proper again, and they're back in the swing of things. I like to think after Nuts and Bolts is over, they said, we need to turn our lives around, let's fix the inside now that the outside's all fixed and presentable.
Yes, and I think they did exactly that, Dustin, because Super Smash Bros. Ultimate 2018, 10 years after Nuts and Bolts, we do see Banjo's house in the background there. And yes, I know the Spiral Mountain stage takes place at a nebulous point in the timeline. We're not sure when it takes place because Gruntilda is flying around as if it was 1998. But Banjo's house is very much the Nuts and Bolts style.
Yeah.
It's fixed up to 1998 standards, but he still has the banjo lettering on the door. The yellow trim on the bottom of the house is still there.
Right.
Which is something that was added to Nuts and Bolts. And I think it's my interpretation, at least, that even though, like, this whole stage might be pulling in different parts of the timeline, this is supposed to be Banjo's house in 2018, or 2019, I guess, because that's when Banjo and Kazooie were added.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's nice and fixed up. At some point, they had a tuck with Jolly and said, look, you did a great job painting, but pink's just not really for us. We kind of like the blue.
And Jolly was like, oh, my bad. Okay, I was just trying to, you know.
He's understanding.
Yeah, of course. And
This is Banjo's house.
I would have really loved to see what the interior looks like now.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see what a modern version of this quaint little cottage looks like. But it's clearly freshly painted. They got rid of the U-dump because they realized how pathetic that was.
Yeah, we don't need that.
They have trash bins again. They even got an extra life trophy again above the chimney.
Yeah, it really brings the place together.
They also painted the chimney yellow to better match the trim and the windowsills.
Yeah, I like that. Matches a little better.
It's a lot more cartoony looking rather than the more like rustic look of the original. But I like it because it's kind of like them re-embracing the sunshine of their lives before Tui, before the darkness crept in.
Right. It's like things are good for now.
Yeah. They eventually like
now let's beat up our friends.
Well, yeah, they got fit. They found their purpose again. They banished.
Now we're going to beat the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Diddy, come here. Come here. This is... You didn't even tell me about Diddy Kong Racing DS. I could have been a part of that. Pow! Pow! That's great. So, that brings us up to the present day. And unfortunately, we don't have any more recent appearances of Banjo's house. And, while that's bad for us, generally speaking, because we don't have any more games to discuss, because Banjo-Kazooie have been in insufferable limbo for so long, it's really good for this episode because it means we won't hit the 4-hour mark.
True, true. Yeah, we're giving you a nice lean episode today.
So, in the live stream, just checking back in with our live stream chat, because we haven't really been keeping up, because we got on a tear there, Dustin. We really just lost track of ourselves, and we got so immersed in our conversation, as you should do. You shouldn't be that distracted while conversing, but I want to check in with the live stream. Freezer says, wait, guys, in Banjo-Tooie's B.O.B. Shooting jingling cutscene, it says it takes hours to recharge, so Tooie would logically take course over a day. Well, just because it was recharged doesn't mean they didn't, like, maybe they didn't have a target in mind yet.
Right, yeah. It's going to take more than a few hours if they want to blast the entire island.
I think Bottle's Grave takes precedent over any interpretations from Tooie, because the gravestone says it's about a week he was dead, so...
It is in-game, yeah. Plus, if they're saying it takes hours to recharge, they don't say how many hours. That could be hours over a week's worth of hours.
So, Andre... I'm sorry, Andre, I'm going to read this one. This is the one I'm choosing to read. Hey, baby, if the glove fits, that's 5 times as many repository tubes as a regular condom. That was OJ.
Pretty cool.
Pretty awesome reference there, Andre.
You know what? This is a pretty good podcast.
We're keeping it classy. We're keeping it cozy.
Yeah, perfect. I love it.
You still have that blanket around you, Dustin? Are you still all snug?
Yeah, it feels dirty to use now.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's why you got to use an ice chair.
Exactly. Just wipes, you know, right once off. Once we started talking about Banjo's house and Nuts and Bolts, I threw that blanket off because I really wanted to experience what it was like to live in horrible squalor.
I'm surprised there's no cockroaches scurrying around.
That would really sell it, like little cartoon cockroaches.
Yeah, yeah. I've lived in a townhouse that just, like, the walls are filled with cockroaches, and
oh my God,
the landlords will not do anything about it. They're like, oh, those are just water bugs. Like, what do you, what? No, get them out. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
like,
in what way is that better? I don't want any bugs here is the problem.
So they're bigger than cockroaches is what you're saying. Like, no.
Yeah, what you're saying is it's a worse scenario then. Interesting. Yeah. Get them out, please.
Oh, God. All right. We do have some calls to take because, of course, people wanted to talk about Banjo's house. Now,
and who can blame them?
I don't. I certainly don't. We've talked about it. Other people also want to have their say. Now, you can call the DK Vine hotline at any time at 1-202-630-VINE. That's 8463. I don't want to say that I'm going to start imposing a call limit But it might get to the point, because we have been getting a lot more calls recently, Dustin, and
right.
It's going to get to the point where I just can't take everybody's call. But thankfully, we only got 2 calls this time. So I can take everybody's call, but we might hit a point where I'm going to have to start picking and choosing. And I don't want to cross that threshold yet, but we might be getting there. But don't let that make you afraid to call in.
And yeah, we still want to hear what you have to say.
Absolutely. I will listen to it. I promise. Scout's honor. All right. Let's go ahead and play our first call.
Yo, what's up? I'm just here delivering mail in my mail truck, and I've been thinking, okay, what's up with the Banjo's trash cans outside the house? Alright? Who's picking up this trash? Like, if we have, like, a trash company coming and picking stuff up out of his, you know, his dumpster and stuff, then not to mention, how much does a barren bird really end up throwing away? I mean, if your trash comes every week, is a barren bird really going through that much? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. Well, okay. Not to mention, Banjo, you shouldn't be leaving your trash on the side of the house. If he was in an HOA, he's going to get in trouble. They're going to find him. He's going to get a phone call from a neighbor being like, you got to put your trash cans behind your house after the dumpster, or after they come pick it up. And I'm not, like, dogging on the guy, but I'm just saying, you got to keep stuff clean, man. And if trash cans are marked over and stuff, like, do you not care about how your house looks from the outside? That's all I'm thinking. I don't know. But anyway, love you.
Well, thank you for the call. Delivering mail and calling into the conversation.
That's some good multitasking.
That's great, because people, I like this idea that people are getting their letters and their, like, bills and what have you. And each one, like, people are like, oh no, here's the credit card bill. But it's just been imbued with a little bit of DKU magic because of this.
Yeah, you know what? That would make getting the mail a lot better for me.
Like, they just feel a little tingle in the wrist, and they're like, I don't know why, but suddenly these bills just don't seem to be as crushing.
It's like we talked about earlier with the red doorknobs.
Exactly. It's exactly like the red doorknobs. You're right. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. So, yeah, to speak to the caller's point, we've already gone over how much trash Banjo and Kazooie can accumulate, and it's quite a bit.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's not an issue. Eventually, they had to bring in an entire dumpster to handle it all. They got that under control, but they're still going to produce quite a bit of trash. Now, clearly there's no HOA situation going on in Spiral Mountain, considering they live in the shadow of Grunty's lair. Like, who's going to, like, complain to them? Cheeto at this point? Like,
yeah.
Brentilda?
Is Grunty herself going to come down and say, like, do something about those flowers popping up between the cobblestones?
I mean, at this point in the timeline, Gruntilda is stuck in Log's factory. So,
right, I just mean in general.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Even before, because they've had these trash bins out, like, even before Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, but Gruntilda
and it's not like they've had anyone come down and say anything.
Yeah,
because
they didn't even know Gruntilda was actually a living person until she swooped down to steal Tootie. But yeah, like, I don't think Topper, Collywobble, or Ball are going to be like, can you just, like, not put trash cans on the side? Like, they live out in the country. It's their property. Not to get all, like, libertarian, you know, on everybody. But, like, it's their right because they have no HOA to live under, so.
Right, like, it's not great having just full trash cans out in the open, but you know, they can do what they want.
Yeah, and
it's not like a super bad eyesore or anything.
And here's the thing, like, a big reason why if you live in the country or if you live in a mountainous area, you don't want to put just trash cans outside. It's because bears will dig through your garbage. Well, what if a bear is the one making the garbage?
Yeah, checkmate.
Boom. Yeah, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear.
Ever think about that?
So, what do they do with the trash? Well, I think eventually when it becomes full, they have to take it to the dump.
Yeah, I think, like, there's a dump somewhere on Spiral Mountain. They're like, all right, these trash cans are getting a little full. we gotta make a trek. Hopefully it's not too far. It'll be fine.
And yeah, like, it's one of these areas that we see just, or we don't see, but we see in our mind's eye, just over the hillside. You know, Banjo's right. family lives there, the Target where they buy their chest of drawers. there's a dump, yeah. You know, and it could even be like post Banjo Kazooie, they take the trash to Clanker and they're like, you want some food, buddy?
Oh, yeah, it is a garbage disposal shark person.
Yeah.
Here, this is perfect food for you. This is what you were made to eat.
And Banjo Pilot establishes that Clanker now lives in the river above Clanker's cavern, Clanker's river. So, you know, they just show up and they're like, oh, yeah, you want a snack? And it's like,
here you go, buddy.
It's like feeding pigeons at the park.
Yeah, it benefits both of them.
I think that could be quite plausibly what they do. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that it's a good, reasonable solution, and everyone gains something out of it.
Thank you for the call, and also thank you for delivering people's mail, because it's
it's
a really important part of the fabric that makes up our society, and people don't thank mail delivery people. They get mad at them, like, where's my package? And it's just like, not up to the person delivering it, right?
Yeah, seriously. You're lucky they came to give you anything at all. They're doing you a good service.
Exactly. For shame. Thank you. Thank you for everything you
Thank
do,
you.
Including calling into the conversation. All right, we have another call to take, Dustin. And we'll
Sweet.
Listen to it, and we'll wrap up our thoughts on Banjo's House.
Awesome.
Hey, guys. This is TJ calling in to discuss my thoughts in regards to Banjo and Kazooie's house. So I guess where do I start? I know a lot of people have always wondered if, prior to the events of the first game, if Banjo and Kazooie sort of had access to the rest of the Isle of Hags prior to Grunty drilling that huge hole in the cave. And, you know, it was always my thought that Banjo himself probably lived the rural farm life. I don't think he ever really had much exposure to the rest of that world prior to, you know, Banjo 2's opening. And, you know, when you look at Spiral Mountain as a whole, they've got that field where the vegetables grow. You know, Banjo's a bear, he eats a lot of honeycombs, and those are lying around, and they've got the freshwater waterfall out in front. And, you know, it's fresh water because goldfish can live in it. So, yeah, I was always of the belief that Banjo kind of just took care of himself until, you know, like we said, the events of Banjo-Tooie and maybe meeting Mumbo and Bottles, the two of them probably encouraged him to, you know, see the rest of the world and, you know, get a little more involved with things outside of his own house. Now, one thing I was wondering is, I remember you guys once asking, at least Heil once asked, you know, why do Banjo and Kazooie go grocery shopping? There's nothing else in Spiral Mountain. And, yeah, that's a good question. And, cause I was looking at a picture of Banjo's house for this occasion, and I was wondering, you know, he doesn't even have a mailbox. So, like, do Banjo and Kazooie receive mail? Do they, yeah, that's a question of mine. I guess we take for granted, you know, the Isle of Hags. People can, they've got the Jinjos there, they've got creatures that aren't human, they've got abilities that aren't like ours. You know, maybe they have a delivery Jinjo that can fly in and do all their stuff, and maybe they don't need to have that. Maybe a lot of people didn't need to have that tunnel built by Grunch in order to access Spiral Mountain. So I guess that's one thing that we could think about. Other than that, that's kind of just where my head is. I think Banjo did a good job taking care of himself before the rest of the world was opened up to him. So, love to hear your guys' thoughts on that. So, thanks for taking the call.
Well, thank you for the call, TJ. Yeah, you know.
Thank you.
I think this gets into the thorny fandom debate. Not fandom wiki, but just the debate in Banjo-Kazooie fandom. But I think this is more of a DKU umbrella debate where the question is Spiral Mountain actually in the Isle of Hags, or is that just the impression that we walk away with in Tui, because it's never actually said, I believe, anywhere that Spiral Mountain is in the Isle of Hags. And, or is it like a nearby location to the Isle of Hags, and that's an underwater tunnel? And I don't say this because Banjo-Tooie's kind of vague about it. And so it always leaves the possibility in my mind that maybe Spiral Mountain is elsewhere. Because it's one thing if Banjo and Kazooie just live under the shadow of this witch. It's another thing if they live on a place called the Isle of Hags. It's just weird. But
right, like that's like choosing to live in a place called like I'm gonna move to lots of fire town.
Yeah, I'm gonna live Hitler Acres.
It's like, Hitler Acres, perfect.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, wow, they really should have thought about changing that name. It's like, oh, don't worry. It's just because the Hitler family moved there after the war. It's like, what?
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. It's like, no, they're not all genocidal maniacs. It's like, well, yeah, but I don't know if I want my mail going to Hitler Acres. It says something
about
me. Yeah,
exactly. Still name it something different.
Right, like anything but that. But yeah, I think that regardless of where Spiral Mountain is located in the Rare Archipelago, if it is actually on the Isle of Hags, or if it's on a neighboring islet, or if it's the Northern Cremosphere, is my favorite theory. I know, like, that's ludicrous at this point to hold on to that notion, but they're bears. He's a bear. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, regardless of where that is, I think Banjo is a homebody. I think he is just content to kind of, I mean, he stayed in the same house all these years, even after it was blown apart by a witch.
Yeah, he's had plenty of reasons to move, and he hasn't.
But as we've just said quite a bit on this episode, I do think there's more over the hillside that we don't see them. Like, obviously, they, like, Nuts and Bolts alone speaks to a lot of this, because they have to be getting the pizza from a nearby location to have it delivered.
Like, exactly.
They do have a healthy amount of video games, and, like, so there are, like,
there has to be places to get all these.
Right, there's modern conveniences beyond just what's provided by Spiral Mountain in the valley. And also, like, yeah, Banjo probably doesn't, like, venture out all that much, but his very first appearance has him going all the way to Timber's Island to help overthrow the incursion of Whizpig. So, like, he does do it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to the point where, like, Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong apparently met Banjo at some point in their adventures between Donkey Kong Country and Diddy Kong Racing. And, you know, like, what brought them together? Like, that's a great untold story of the DKU. And maybe it was more
probably will never be told, but it's fun to imagine.
Not with that attitude, Dustin.
That's true. That was my bad.
You know, we're just saying, like, you've never made a Banjo-Kazooie game. Well, maybe you make this game.
Yeah, they're like, why don't you make a Banjo game? You want it so much. Don't put it on our shoulders. Freezer's, and I guess it's like, fair enough.
Freezer says Hitler Acres sounds like a Virginia town. Now, take that back. Like, the Germans settled in, like, Pennsylvania. Yes,
yeah,
I am.
Pin it on them.
I was born in Pennsylvania, but take that back. I guess Hitler was Austrian, or you know what? We've talked about Hitler way too much. You know what? Screw that guy.
In the Banjo's Cozy Cabin episode.
Yeah, no, screw that guy. You know, he's no good.
Isn't it interesting that both of these calls have had something to do with mail?
It is interesting. I'm glad you brought it back around to the mail. Something positive. Something we all love.
Yeah.
Mail. Yeah, Banjo doesn't have a mailbox, but I imagine, like, he just has it on his front stoop delivered. Like,
yeah, he can just come outside, pick it up. No one's coming down to steal his mail, so he's fine with it.
Who's going to steal it? The Onion?
Yeah, he's like two steps away, and Banjo can roll into him and get it back.
Yeah, not this time, ball.
Better luck next time.
Not getting my publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes.
Although I do love the idea that Banjo has to deal with this every morning.
And Banjo, like, Bull can't steal it from him because every time he gets close, Banjo's, like, eyes tear up and he's like, damn it, Bull!
He's like, hold up a second. Get out of here.
Bull,
well, these vegetables also don't have hands, so they're probably, like, struggling to pick up this mail.
Yeah, they've got eyes, though. Like, they could, like, blink.
Blink and hold them between their eyelids.
You know, they like that's how they do it. That's how they, like, if you don't have opposable thumbs, you make do with what you have, and they have eyes.
That's true. It is their one tool.
So we've talked a lot about how cozy Banjo's cottage is, but we've also kind of made light of the fact that he does live directly under a grimacing witch's face. And right. That, like, yeah, maybe he was blissfully unaware of the legacy of Gruntilda and how she drove out the Jinjos and like the bad stuff of Spiral Mountain. Maybe he just was out of sight, out of mind. But then in 1998, Gruntilda did swoop down and did abduct his kid sister in front of him.
Yeah, now it's his problem.
And then 2 months later, he got sent back in time to 1978 to rescue Kazooie. That happened. And then a little bit over 2 years after that, his house was incinerated and his mole friend died. And his replacement goldfish was just completely turned to dust.
Things just get worse and worse. But hey, it's not a problem with the location. Gruntilda has a personal vendetta against it. I feel like this would have happened no matter where he lived.
Well, the fact is, the only reason Gruntilda was brought to him in the first place was because of the proximity in which they lived to her, so...
Right, but after that, yeah. It becomes more of a personal thing.
So, my question to leave you with, Dustin... that I want you to ponder is just how comfortable can this idyllic rural lifestyle actually be if you're constantly living under the threat of a terrorist attack?
That's a good point. That's a good question.
So, you know, I've thought about this, and I thought a lot about this in the days leading up to this episode. And I can only speak to my own experiences as somebody living in the United States, because in the United States, it's very likely you will have a bad neighbor. And I know bad neighbors might be more universal than just you live in the U.S. and you have a bad neighbor. But it is kind of a unique problem here because a lot of our bad neighbors are armed, right? They have a lot of guns. And so they will even put up signs that say trespassers will be shot. They will be very menacing in their day-to-day. You basically don't engage with your neighbors anymore.
Right.
I know I don't. I haven't for years. Like, just like, you stay in your side, I'll stay on my side. We won't even glance at each other when we're getting into our cars. You know, we'll just...
Everything will be fine.
We'll just pretend like we don't exist. You know, or it might even be, like, less intense than that. Maybe... it's kind of akin to the people who live near paper mills or landfills, you know, like speaking back to garbage, but places that produce an odious stench that is just overpowering to anybody who's passing by. And there's always going to be this little comment, this little remark. When I was a kid, we always drove through a town in Pennsylvania visiting relatives that had a paper mill in it. And my mom would always make the same remark, how do people live here? And then my dad would always say the same thing. And this would be every single time, mind you, Dustin. He would say, I'm sure if you live here, you get used to it.
That's true. If you're just there all the time, then you're going to smell it all the time and you're going to get used to it.
And it might even become a pleasant notion because home is home. And people I was going to say humans, but it implies to cartoon bears and birds as well. People have a remarkable tendency to make the best out of bad situations, even situations we don't like. Even if you hate where you live, whether it's your living situation or it's just the area you're in, we always find a way to make ourselves comfortable. And yeah. I think it's the same thing in Spiral Mountain. I think that, you know, Spiral Mountain, it's Banjo and Kazooie's home. They, even when it's a little bit icky for them and they're sitting out on a beanbag chair because they don't want to spend 1 second inside that they don't have to, it's, they would still rather be nowhere else.
Right. This is what we're used to. This is what we know and love.
And when you consider that life in Spiral Mountain has mostly been peaceful, except for those four awful times in the past 25 years.
Yeah, yeah, and to be fair, those are multiple years apart,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, like, 1998 was a bit rough, granted. And then 2000 really sucked, but then you had an 8-year stretch.
Yeah, where everything was fine.
It's two presidential administrations, and then after that, you know, it's easy living. So, I think that's a pretty good track record, all things considered. And I also think it's pretty good that Banjo kept to his roots. He stayed true to his home, because that is its home. That is where he belongs. And it meant that we didn't have to do a complete 4-hour episode talking about every single place he moved.
Yeah, thank God.
This has been a File 2 production.
Kerikoo.